Are you ready? Candace was going to do some sharing. And Candace tried to do some sharing with us just before lunch, but her voice was broke up. So let's give that another try. You're still kind of broke up. Why is she broke up like that? I presume that while she was at lunch, she rebooted, and like I asked. Okay, turned off the computer and turned on the computer. Okay, well, let's see if we can hear you. Go ahead and give it a try.
All right. I was mentioning that the first half I could not hear. We had no sound about the first half of the session. However, once I did begin to hear and got into it and was repeating the recognition, I began seeing between each recognition an eye, like a big, large eye opening up. So I was sort of slowly moving through a tunnel of eyes. If that makes sense. And then near the end, I started having sort of a tingling feeling all over, a feeling of lightness, not aware of the chair. And then I started hearing some water and ice drop and pour and some drinking, and that kind of brought me out.
Okay, a couple of things I want to talk about. Okay, so you didn't hear part of it. What part did you not hear? Starting at what point did you lose audio?
I started hearing the end of the third recognition. I didn't hear anything before that. We had no sound at all.
Okay, for the entire day, I'm asking you at point. What point did you stop hearing, not what point did you start hearing?
At the beginning of the session.
Okay. What do you mean by session? Do you mean where we started doing seventh path?
I'm sorry, yes. At the beginning of the seventh path session.
Okay. Nina, you were here, and there should have been a way for you to find that out. If you guys see my lips moving, and I'm up here in front of the class, you guys got to let us know. You either got to...
We put messages on the board and we said we can't hear.
Okay. If you do not get a response right away, then call us.
Okay, we're
going to
do that next time.
Okay. And, Nina, I told you to leave after I started that session, so... Okay. Okay, so you guys on the internet, if you lose sound... and you type, and you don't have a response within 10 seconds, call us. I don't want you to miss anything.
The first thing is, I heard the first and second recognition, and then missed the third one. So I don't know. I thought that's what she got, too. But evidently, she was hearing something entirely different from me, so I don't know what happened. Just to let you know, because Ali might have had her experience or mine.
Okay, so this is the deal. So one person's having one experience, one's having a different experience, and so we can't monitor all of your experiences. If you lose sound for a significant portion of time, like more than a few seconds, you need to call our office, because I got two tech people standing by to ensure that you guys are getting the sound. Okay, Candace, so during the time when you were practicing 7 Path, were you saying the recognition to yourself and waiting for the echo?
Yes.
Then whatever happened was perfect. That's the only criteria. It's not if you tingle. It's not if you see eyeballs floating around. As long as you're saying the recognition, waiting for the echo. Now, of course, the more secure your environment, the less distracted you are, generally speaking, the better off you are. Okay? If you've got, people running around and doing stuff, it's generally not as good because your attention is going outside of you rather than inside of you. Good. All right. Any other questions about or anything to share about anything covered so far? Phase 1, 7 Path. Those two things. Good.
Let's think that someone comes to you for weight loss. So the person you would be able to value regression, first phase, regression of the weight loss.
I haven't talked about regression yet. So we'll
do that. For his problems. I mean, someone comes to you and say, I don't know what happens to me. That's how it is. So we kind of value suggest to you to say the first phase. You know, I'm sad and anger, but. You know the problem, you can say something special to the problem.
Okay, what we do is we show them the video, like I said, and then we say, could you relate to part or all of that? And most people will say, you're talking about me in that video, the video of feel bad, distract. But we don't necessarily know at that point what emotions. They're probably distracting to just about every unpleasant emotion that comes to them. And so we begin to educate them on that, and we will give them direct suggestion. There's two kinds of direct suggestion. One is like the high road, low road, where we find out what kind of changes they're willing to make, and then we suggest that they make those changes. For example, changes in eating, changes in exercise. We suggest that they would make those changes, and we take them on the low road and the high road, and they get to see the difference between not making the changes and making the changes. The other thing, and the script has been given to you, I think it's in the level 2 manual, it's called the overeating rut pattern. Now, or it might be in the level 1 manual, but it talks about what you do is you suggest to them that next time they're thinking about having something to eat, they should check to see if they're physically hungry. If they're not physically hungry, then what's being called for in that moment is not eating, but rather ask themselves, what are you feeling? You see, if sitting in your chair, in your office, in the hypnotherapist's office, they might not know what the feeling is. But afterwards, when they're walking towards the refrigerator, and they go, oh, wait a minute, am I physically hungry? And they go, no. They go, okay, what am I feeling? Am I bored? Am I frustrated? Am I angry? You see? So does that answer your question?
Not quite. I mean, okay, go on. Yeah. But I don't know what happens to me. So,
are you talking about as a therapist or as a client?
As a client. Okay. So, what happens to me? So, you do the high road and the low road, say, you will be happy?
No, no. The high road, low road is about behavior. When someone comes in, we ask them, what do you want? And they say, I want to lose weight or I want to stop smoking. These are behaviors. We take them down the low road, continuing doing, that's a behavior, what they've been doing. And then we take them up the high road of doing what they want to be doing. So I'm not taking them down the low road of going, here you are, becoming more and more unhappy. Here you are, 4 years unhappier still. And then take them up the high road going, now you're happy. Now let's go 5 more years. Now you're even happier. No. The high road, low road is based on behavior, on doing. Now, with regard to emotions, I say, we do the video, we do the explanation, and then we do like the overeating rut pattern. When they're sitting in my office, they may not know what emotions they're experiencing. But we suggest to them that in the future, today, tomorrow, the next day, when they go to eat or drink or smoke or whatever it is, when they don't want to be doing that, that's why they come to me. I say, now, check for your feeling. Okay. Because people, while they're sitting there in your office, they might not know what the emotion is. So at the direct suggestion level, that's how we take care of it. Then in phase two, as we get into the age regression, we're going to be following the feeling back and taking care of it at the cause, if there is a cause that is before what's happening now. Am I getting closer? Yes?
If somebody comes in and they don't have any specific behavior, they just say, I'm depressed.
They come in for depression?
Yeah.
I would say, what would be better in your life if you weren't depressed? What would you do? There's the benefits for it, remember? What do you want? I want to not be depressed. Okay, if you weren't depressed, how would you be? We always want to rephrase these in positives. So I guess I would be happy. Okay, if you're happy, how would that change your life? Oh, maybe I'd go to work more often. Maybe I'd write that book. Maybe I'd go to school. Maybe my relationship would be better. Oh, okay. So then what we do is we're going to give them in phase two, in phase one, okay, that I don't believe there is such thing as a antidepressant script. Okay, I mean, you could give them some suggestions and it might last for a day or two or three, but the underlying cause isn't taken care of. So on something that's purely affect like that, what am I going to do? Preparation, testing, convincing, age regression. I'll get right into age regression. If I do not have time for that, then I will do the other thing I've already told you. And that is, I would make up a script on the fly right then. I'd say, now you're going to be, by virtue of you having this hypnosis session, you're going to feel more hopeful. Remember, that's what phase one's about. What's the opposite of depressed? Hopeful. And I've already done some things for them to start feeling hopeful. And I say, you're going to feel more hopeful. And because of this hopeful feeling that's coming up, you're going to be more able to do benefit, benefit, benefit. See how it's starting to come together now? It's funny, when I start going on to phase two, it makes you think about phase one. When I start making you do arm catalepsy, a number block, suddenly you start getting comfortable with the regression. You know, it's like we kind of have to move on. We could spend 4 weeks on inductions, and believe me, some schools they do. Okay, and you never get comfortable with it. It's kind of like we have to start moving on to the next thing. Good. There was more questions.
I would just like to add something to that. Even though I've done a lot of different things, until Celeste had me do that.
Do what?
Until she had me say, okay, what am I feeling before I open that refrigerator door, before I go through that drive-thru, I had never had that question asked before. So it really brought some awareness.
Yeah, now it's like, well, duh. But and it's so I had this, two doctors that were renting a room for me. Two medical doctors. We had a spare office out of the center for a while, and they rented a room. And what these two doctors were diet doctors.
Bariatric.
And that it was some period of time after the flim-flam diet, I mean, fen-fen diet was over. And it was a real interesting process. And what they had done is they decided that they would put their heads together and come up with a better concoction. And so I, you know, got to know these guys really good. And I was talking to them, I said, well, what exactly was it that Fen-Fen did, and what is it you're trying to recreate in this new concoction? And I found out what it is was a concoction of medications that flattened out your emotion.
Oh,
right. Yeah. And I said, you know what? We are so in line here, except you're catching it on the back end, I'm doing it on the front end. Okay, so what I do is I say, hey, the emotion is the cause. And you see, this word appetite, you know, people don't understand what appetite means. Appetite simply means the desire to eat. It doesn't mean low blood sugar. It doesn't mean that your stomach's empty. It just means, you know, if you have appetite. Appetite is the willingness and desire to eat. And so what they do is they suppress your appetite by suppressing your emotion. Ah. And I went and explained to them about the secret language of feelings, like, ah, that would never work. Well, they were already too highly invested in the back end. They liked the idea that people were eating in response to emotions, and then they could flatten out the emotion.
Of course.
Yeah. What's the medication they're giving people to get people to stop smoking? And it is a what? It's a what?
Antidepressant.
It's not a nicotine inhibitor, or it's not a nicotine replacement. It's an antidepressant. So now we're getting the idea, aren't we, that this is not absolutely, totally new. But it seems like the doctor should have figured this out already. Depressed mood, I mean, depressed emotions, appetite drops. Get rid of depression, urge to smoke drops. Adina?
What did you say about appetite again?
Appetite is simply the desire to eat. The desire to eat. That's all appetite is.
Well, Wellbutrin works so well that most of the insurance companies will only pay one time for someone, you know, that has insurance to use it.
The numbers aren't good. They're not pretty.
Oh, yeah. If you look at the statistics for stop smoking, if you look at, like, the nicotine replacement patch, and they'll typically quote numbers between 5 and 16% success rate when accompanied with a behavioral program or counseling. Okay? It's not nicotine, ladies and gentlemen. Nicotine is not a substantially addicting drug. It's not. Dr. Koop got up there, attorney, not attorney general, medical doctor of the United States, whatever it is.
Surgeon
general says, nicotine is as addicting as cocaine. And it was a blatant lie.
Yeah, what else is there?
If you ever study, which I did, in a hospital, the nature of chemical addiction, I'm going to try to make this as short as possible. Okay? But what happens is, your body attempts to create something called homeostasis, which means balance of chemicals, optimum balance. Then you either put in like an amphetamine, okay, or a barbiturate, or some benzodiazepine derivative, something that takes you down, or up. And you will immediately have an experience of either down or up, depending on what you took. But then immediately your body begins creating the opposite chemical. If you're putting in amphetamines, which take you up, it starts putting in chemicals to bring you back down because it wants balance. It wants homeostasis. You start putting in downers and it starts putting in anti-downers because it wants to go into balance. If you do that with a regular basis, be it uppers or downers, okay, then your body will get good at dosing you with the opposite. Okay? So if you're taking downers all the time, then your body's trying to keep you balanced and it's putting in the opposite. If you suddenly stop taking it, that's where withdrawal symptoms come from. Because now you're out of balance again, and it takes a while for your body to learn to stop doing that. That is the nature of chemical addiction. If you are taking a strongly addicting chemical like cocaine or heroin or something like that, it's strong drugs. Your body has to produce strong anti-drugs to create a balance. And what happens is if you do it with any kind of frequency, then your body starts dosing you with like the antidote with that kind of similar frequency. If you miss one of your dosing periods, your body doesn't know it. It still dumps in the antidote. And so that's where painful withdrawal symptoms occur. If you're jonesing for your next hit of cocaine, you don't sleep through the night. You don't have pleasant conversations with people. All you do is jones for that hit. If you're jonesing for your barbiturate or benzodiazepine derivative type downer, you miss it, you don't sleep through the night, you're sick. Okay, if let's say you're taking 20 hits of cocaine a day on a regular basis, and then suddenly you stop for 8 hours, you're not going to sleep through the night. If you're taking 20 hits of a downer, like a benzodiazepine derivative, a day, and then stop, you're not going to sleep through the night. Because those are strongly chemical addicting drugs. But if you smoke 20 cigarettes a day, like just about every cigarette smoker does, okay, about a pack a day is an average cigarette habit, then you sleep through the night. You might wake up in the night to go pee and then decide to have a cigarette. Okay? Nicotine is not a strongly addicting substance. Probably coffee is more addicting. Stop drinking coffee and you're going to get sick if you're used to drinking coffee. I mean, headaches and pain and everything. So this whole idea that that nicotine is the problem is wrong. And the proof is, I haven't said it yet, if nicotine was the real problem, then everybody who successfully got off of cigarettes because of the nicotine gum, I mean, 100%, approaching 100%, would get addicted to the gum or the patch. That almost never happened.
Yeah, they don't come to get off the patch.
3,000 people a year die from secondhand smoke. Yeah, they're starting when they left the smoker's house. That's a lethal dose.
Okay.
I missed something.
Let me finish my point here, and that is, if nicotine at a certain level was sufficient to drive the habit, the only way you can get off the habit is by replacing it with an equal or greater amount of nicotine to the patch or gum. How come 100% of the people don't get addicted to the patch or the gum? Because when you remove everything except the chemical will not cause the addiction. So there's something more to it. And it is distraction. Oh, I'm frustrated, I'm going to have a cigarette. And just pure habit. And I believe that we're going to find out one day that nicotine is either an anti-anxiety drug or an antidepressant, that it is an emotional inhibitor in and of itself. And so it's not like a cocaine or like a benzodiazepine derivative like they're trying to treat it, but that it is an emotional suppressant like Ritalin. Yes. You want to explain your point? I didn't really get it.
Well, 3,000 people a year that died from secondhand smoke never chose to smoke, did not choose to smoke. They even moved out of the house, still had lethal doses of nicotine, and never smoked. Never did. They didn't care, you know, never bothered them. They walked away from it just fine.
Didn't get addicted to it.
Yeah. I don't believe that secondhand smoke has killed anybody.
Yeah, I know, but you know, you get the point.
If I might add one more point to my thing, I think, correct me if you know more about this this habit thing, that when you take in that drag, so to speak, it's just kind of a releasing, I think.
It's a breathing exercise.
Well, that could be all part of it, but the point is it's not the nicotine. That's my point.
Yeah, I agree with
and but there's a lot of things. There's a simple conditioned response. If you look at Pavlovian conditioning, if you ring a bell and they drool, pretty soon they just ring a bell and they drool. I mean, show them a dog biscuit. What if things get conditioned? You see, and the conditioning is stronger than the drug. Here's an example. Nicotine is not a relaxing drug. It's a stimulant.
Yeah.
But it's not a very strong stimulant, and the fact that just the fact that what you tend to do is have a cigarette and relax, have a cigarette and relax, have a cigarette and relax, the conditioned response of relaxing with the cigarette is stronger than the drug. So at least at the level that we get nicotine, it's just not significant to be to explain what we observe in behavior.
How does it fit in with sex?
Hello, another topic.
I don't smoke.
I got one question, because I never worked in substance abuse, but you always call that process detox. And I'm from one toxic. When you're getting ready to talk, you're getting rid of poison out of your body. And if you're talking neurotransmitters offline, that's not really true detoxification.
It's true detox. Okay. From the chemical model that I just said,
yeah.
What we're doing is that your body is creating chemicals itself,
yeah,
at a greater level than it needs. It takes a while to recover from that habit pattern.
And the things that the heroin replaced are totally offline, and you've got the inhibitors on the other side, so you've got to do this, which can be done.
And it can be dangerous. And you know, if you're working with someone that's at that level of dependency, you need to be working with a professional in chemical dependency and stuff like that. Yeah. All right. Any other questions about anything covered so far? That's right, like an antidepressant or an anti-anxiety drug. What?
Would you be comfortable by a
sure. That's just a belief.
Okay.
I just said I believe that.
Is that true? You're talking about the balancing thing, just the antidepressants that doctors prescribe? Is that the same thing going on?
Fen-phen was a combination of like antidepressants and an anxiety drug.
Decided my antidepressant wasn't working, and so I got off it cold turkey, and I could not stop crying for 3 days to call the doctor and say, that's horrible.
And probably crying for the 3 days did more good for you than the drug.
Yeah, I know that. But that was the balancing out too?
It's possible that, you know, that here you have this anti-anxiety drug going on, and then your body's trying to reach homeostasis, so it's putting an anti-depression or anti-anxiety. You pull it out, and then you open the floodgates to emotion. You know? And so when you go off drugs like that, you shouldn't just go off. You say, okay, doc, I've decided to go off, and then they will put you on a regime that will do it in a comfortable and safe way. I'm not anti-doctors by any means. I'm just trying to educate them a little bit better.
Nicotine's closest relative had its name changed because they didn't want it associated with the poisonous cigarettes. Does anybody know what it is? It's a B vitamin called niacin. Nicotinic acid. American tobacco plants are one of the highest sources of B vitamins on the planet in natural living substances. Other than sewage sludge, which is where they get most B vitamins.
Eating tobacco would make you sick, though, wouldn't it?
No, actually, the Native Americans always cooked it and ground it up in food. It was part of their diet because they ate corn and squash, and they needed something green and cooked when they lived on the plains.
Okay. I just know, like, you know, when I was a young man, we would go hunting with the guys who put some of that stuff in there.
Yeah, yeah, I can do it. I
turned green, and it's a great camouflage in the woods.
Come to Texas, that's all they do is chew. Yeah.
Okay. Let's move on to page 43, level 2 manual. Today it gets interesting. You know, age regression is probably the one tool that motivated me to get into hypnosis more than anything else. Age regression is what I call the royal high road of all therapies. I don't believe there's anything more powerful available to the helping professional than mastering age regression. So, let me talk a little bit about this. So, we've just done preparation, testing, and convincing. We look at the clock. Do I have time to do an age regression? If no, wrap it up with direct suggestion. If yes, then what are we going to do? We begin to move into the age regression work. There's some terms I want to get straight right away. I've been kind of throwing them around, but now we need to crystallize them. ISE, initial sensitizing event. And so that's the event that began it all. That's where they had the original perception that resulted into a feeling. Like thinking, I'm unlovable and becoming afraid. Thinking, there's something wrong with me and becoming afraid. And whatever it was. SPE. Okay. Symptom-producing event. This is what your clients usually tell you where it began. You say, oh, when did this all start? And they'll tell you when they think it started, and that's usually when the problem began. But they're not always the same thing. Sometimes the ISE and the SPE are the same. The initial sensitizing event might be when the symptom started. But sometimes there'll be an initial sensitizing event, and it needs to be reinforced over and over and over until it takes up a significant amount of emotion or belief needs to be reinforced enough to where the symptom will develop, or the problem, or the behavior. Then there's subsequent sensitizing events. Subsequent, or SSE, subsequent sensitizing events, can occur after the ISE, and either before or after the SPE. So that ISE always happens first. That's why the word initial, meaning first. Initial sensitizing event. The initial sensitizing event may also be the SPE if the problem starts at the same time that it was, I mean, goes, for example, a person may, and I'm going to be frightened, something happens that frightens them. And then they're afraid of that, like they a bumpy ride on an airplane when they're five. And now they're terrified of airplanes. Started right there. And then they were five, something happened that was scary, now they're always afraid of airplanes. Another situation might be they're told there's something wrong with you. There's something wrong with you. And so the person withdraws and becomes shy. Happens maybe when they're 3-4 years old. Then when they're 15, they discover that if they drink enough alcohol, they don't feel so shy anymore. Okay? So we have initial sensitizing event, whatever that fear was put into them. But a great deal of time may transpire before the symptom begins, which is the abuse of alcohol. Could be 10 years later. So there, and it had been reinforced over and over and over, the fear, subsequently to the initial sensitizing event many times. So those are SSEs. And after the alcoholism occurs, or the alcohol abuse occurs, it can continue to be reinforced subsequent to that. So subsequent sensitizing events. Was a handle there? Yes, Mike.
Not to confuse the ISE with the SSE. Is there a point at which an ISE cannot actually hatch itself or manifest? That is, from, let's say, my understanding was it is from conception to about 7 years old. Can an ISE take place at 21?
Sure, if it's traumatic enough.
Thank you.
Yeah. Generally, ISEs happen sometime before the age of 5 or 7, depending how you want to calculate it. However, there's probably people who lived pretty normal, productive lives, and then suddenly they're in a war zone, or there is a hurricane, or there is a 9/11 type incident, and that shakes them up so badly that is adequate for an ISE. But it usually has to be something very profound. Okay. So ISE, SSC, SPE. Overview of phase 2 on page 44, numbered list 1 through 8. Review last session. If you are in session 2, you review last session. So let me talk a little bit about reviewing last session. So I do my first session with the client, and I look at the clock, and I go, gosh, there's not time to go into age regression. I wrap it up with direct suggestion, emerge them, post-hypnotic interview, confirm their appointment time, see them in 3 to 10 days. On average for my next session, it's usually about a week. They come in, say, hey, Harry, how's it going? Come on back to my office. Go in there, sit down, and I say, I like to kind of do things chronologically, so let's start off with how things went last week. I'll say, how'd it go in the big chair? What stuck with you from that? What was that like for you? And as they talk about their experience from last week, it kind of refreshes my mind about everything we did. Then I'll say, what was it like for you when you emerged? What was it like for you the rest of the day? How's it been going with regard to this issue since I saw you last? So I see it's just kind of a stepwise, progressive, systematic way. And I say, and then we'll say, well, good. Would you like to do hypnosis with me now? And we go back to the chair. And I'll typically go, I usually don't ask for permission to touch again. Unnecessary. I got permission last time. It's on video. I don't do any more convincers or testing because, in my experience, they're unnecessary. If I have a reason to believe that my client did not reach somnambulism, I'm still in phase 1. I don't go to age regression, and I will do more testing and convincing. But if I'm moving into phase 2, I don't. Okay? But if I have some reason to believe it would benefit the client to do more testing and convincing, I would do it. But generally, it's just not necessary, because what happens? You do hypnosis with someone, and then you do it again. The tendency is to go where you were last time or deeper. You hypnotize and then re-hypnotize. Okay. So that session usually goes like this. Okay, would you like to do hypnosis with me now? Yes. Let's go to the big chair. Put up their feet, put down their back, press on my hand, close your eyes, sleep. Okay? Deepen them, and I progress right into. And I typically will use a deepening script that's in the beginning of this chapter, the three important things we do whenever we do hypnosis together. Let me talk a little bit about that. I also, that's my preferred script for deepening in every session. I need you to listen quickly. You have to listen fast. In the first session that I do with them, you're not going to be able to write this down. You have to listen fast. I do the induction. I do a little bit of deepening, like 1 down to 5. And I say, there's 3 important things we do whenever we do hypnosis together. One of the first most important things is just listen to the sound of my voice. By doing that, certainly you've gone deeper. The second important thing we do is from time to time have you think about or imagine something like a perfectly formed leaf from a tree green like springtime, a single drop of moisture upon it, like a warm and gentle rain that passed by. The third important thing we do is from time to time I'll have you become aware of feelings or sensations. For example, even though you might not have been thinking about it a moment ago, really because I suggested for no other reason, you become aware of the feeling, the shoes upon your feet. And you go deeper. And now your attention goes to the feeling of your pants touching your legs, the light touch or the fit. And you go deeper. Feeling the sleeves touching your arms. You go deeper. The feeling of the air going in and out with every gentle breath you exhale, you go deeper. And now your attention goes to your eyelids touching together, and they twitch and tighten. And as I count, starting with the number 1, with each number they twitch and tighten. 1, touching on the forehead. 2, twitching and tightening. 3, locked down, glued shut, zip tight. 4, stuck like glue. 5, stuck like glue. You try to open them, you cannot. You try to open them, you cannot. You try to open them, but you cannot. Good. Stop testing. Go deeper. Then I look at the clock. Do I have time to go to age regression or not? If not, wrap it up with direct suggestion. Next session. So I do hypnosis with me now? Sure, let's go. Head up, feet back, press my hand, close your eyes, sleep, go loosen up and relax with every gentle breath, go deeper and deeper. And as I gently count from 1 down to 5, let yourself go back to that deep level of relaxation you experienced before. 1, deeper, relax. 2, let every sound take you deeper, every thought take you deeper, every sensation take you deeper. 3, safe, secure, comfortable. 4, let your body relax so much, it's as if your body was asleep at night. But your mind is focused on mindfulness. 5. Now there's 3 important things we do whenever we do hypnosis together. One of the first most important things is just listening to the sound of my voice. Certainly by following my instructions, it takes you deeper. The second important thing we do is from time to time I have you think about or imagine something like a perfectly formed leaf from a tree, green like springtime with a single drop of moisture upon it. The third important thing we do is from time to time I have you become aware of feelings or sensations. For example, even though you might not have been thinking about it a moment ago, merely because I suggested for no other reason, you become aware of the feeling of the shoes upon your feet. And you go deeper. Pants touching your legs. And you go deeper. Sleeves touching your arms. And you go deeper. Feeling of the air going in and out. With every gentle breath, let yourself go deeper. Now your attention goes to a feeling inside you don't like that has everything to do with why you came here today. You tried swallowing it away. You tried distracting yourself from it. But now as I count up from 1 to 5, it comes up as strong and as powerful as ever been. 1, starting to come up inside you, strong and powerful. 2, stronger and stronger. Yes, I can tell you connected to it because you're starting to breathe more quickly. 3, coming up more and more. More and more powerful within you. 4, coming up, strong, powerful as ever been. 5, that feeling is connected to every time in your life you ever felt that way. And as I count from 5 back to 1, we follow that feeling back to an earlier time you felt that way. 5, going back. 4, becoming younger. 3, younger and smaller. 2, 1, be there. First impression, daytime, nighttime. Response, indoors, outdoors. Response, are you alone or with someone? Response, good. Okay, 7. And I said 7. What's happening, 7? What do you think about that 7? How do you feel about that 7? Let me ask you a question, 7. Is that feeling inside you familiar or no? Familiar like, oh boy, here we go again. Or new, like, what the heck's going on? well, I felt this way before. Good, focus on that feeling. Where is it in your body? It's in my chest. Good, focus on that feeling. We count from three back to one. I get back to one. You get back to an earlier time. I felt that way. 3, 2, 1, be there. First impression, daytime or nighttime. Indoors or outdoors. Alone or with someone. What's happening? How does that make you feel? What do you think of that? How old are you? I'm 5. Okay, 5. Let me ask you about that feeling in your body. Where is it? Oh, it's in my stomach. Okay, good. I'm going to ask you a question about that feeling. Is that feeling familiar? Oh boy, here we go again, or new. And I'm going to keep doing that until I get back to new, and then I'm going to do some other things to verify it. So, what did I do? I used the same deepening technique, the three important things we do in hypnosis, which is inspired by an earlier script I ran across by Don Mott. And what I did was when I did the feeling part, what I did is, remember I told you guys yesterday that if I suggest a sensation or a perception to you that you can feel, you will feel it? For example, the tongue in your mouth? You can't help it. It goes there. So I went through the process of compounding feeling of the shoes upon your feet. Now, of course, if they're not wearing shoes, I wouldn't say that, right? They can't help but go there. That compounds the suggestion that when I suggest a feeling comes up, it comes up. And then I just follow it with go deeper. Because what? Realization. Whenever they realize something happens, that's a deepening technique. So I just follow it with go deeper. Feeling of the pants touching your legs. They can't help but go there. They go there. Good. You go deeper. I like to work with stuff that must work. Now your attention goes to the feeling of the sleeves touching against your arms, a light touch of the fit. You give them about 1 or 2 seconds for them to get that perception. Feeling of the air going in and out with every gentle breath, you go deeper. So now what have I done? I've compounded over and over that when I suggest a suggestion, a sensation to you, it happens. Good. Now your attention goes to your eyelids and they twitch and tighten. And so it's going to happen because the mind works through a particular kind of reasoning. If A equals B and B equals C, then C must equal A. It's just pure logic. And I've proved it over and over. If I say something, you feel it. So I go, eyelids, attention goes, you feeling of your eyelids touch together, and they twitch and tighten. So it's another cool thing you can do to improve eye lock. Subconscious mind doesn't forget that. Next session, shoes upon your feet, you go deeper. Pants touching your legs, you go deeper. What am I saying? I'm proving and compounding and reinforcing that when I suggest that they become aware of a feeling, it happens. Before I started using this technique, I'd sometimes have no luck finding the emotion that has to do with the problem. But by using this technique that they'll teach you in any salesman school, go for 3 yeses before you go for the big one, right? So I do. Shoes upon your feet, pants touching your legs, feeling of sleeves touching your skin. There's a feeling inside you don't like that. That's everything. See? Before I go for the closing question. And then boom, it goes there. Then I watch them very closely to see if there's any physiological response. Because remember, we're talking about unconscious mind stuff. Emotions is in the subconscious mind, but feelings are in the unconscious mind. And what happens? It starts making you feel that way. And when you feel angry, you have a certain way that your body responds. Or if you feel sad, your body responds to that. So I watch very closely so I can feed back to what I'm seeing. I might say, yes, you're starting to breathe more quickly. Well, what does that do? That exacerbates it because then they become aware of the feeling inside them if they haven't already at a conscious level. Or I might say, your face is turning red. Or you're making your fist tight. So I feed it back to them. It exacerbates the emotion more. And I say, good, that's connected to every time. You see, I'm just logically building on everything. Truism, truism, truism. Yes, 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 yes. Good, that feeling is connected to every time you've ever felt that way. Power of resonance. We've already talked and experienced about that. Now, as I count from 3 back to 1, you go back to an earlier time you felt that way. Now, let me talk about another thing. Why talk so fast? Well, you know, most hypnotist schools say, I know that feeling starts to come up. Not me. Why? Because speed is trance-inducing. That's right. Now, hypnosis is not trance, but trance is a component of hypnosis. So anything that I can do that is trance-inducing helps deepen the hypnosis. If I do it real slow, then their mind will wander, like you're talking about.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, did you know that Harley Davidsons can only say one word? And that's what they talk to amongst each other all the time. But they only have one word. You ever really listen to a Harley Davidson? They only say one word. Do you know what that word is? No, it's a real word.
Oh, real word?
Yeah. Potato. That's right. Listen real carefully. Potato, 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 potato. That's what I did. So one day, back in my wild and crazy days, me and my buddies, my most hardest core buddies, we wake up in this house in Drayton, Minnesota. We peel ourselves off the carpet. Look at each other and say, "What? How'd we get here?" We go, "You look like crap." "Yeah, we must have had a good time." you know, yada da yada da yada da yada da. "Oh well, let's go home." So there's this wonderful straight stretch of road from Dayton, Minnesota to Grand Forks, North Dakota, where we were going to go. There was three of us, and we all got our Harleys, and we got on our Harleys, and we're kind of muttering back and forth about, you know, what happened last night. And so we get our motorcycles, and we get them started, you know, and we're going really slow because we're still kind of talking to each other. So we're three abreast going down Highway 29 from Drayton all the way back to Grand Forks. And we're going so slow, way slower, we just fall over. And you can still hear our motorcycles going potato, 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 potato. And we finally come to the conclusion, there's no way we're going to figure out what happened last night. Say you get three bikers on a good stretch of road, but nothing to do with a ride. And pretty soon, one pulls back on the throttle. And you go from potato, potato, to potato, potato, and to where they're humming along pretty good. See, now I was going about 15 miles an hour. Go much slower than that, and I fall over. Okay? So now I'm going, I was going like this, you know, really slow, like this, talking to this guy over here and talking to that guy. But now, you know, one guy starts to give it a throttle. So the bike straightens up. See? And before I could, we were going slow. I could kind of go, Ranch, what do you think about this? I don't know. How about you, Stinky? You know? And we're riding along. And I got probably a 270 degree of view. But one guy started pulling back on the throttle. Bike straightens up. Okay? And then this guy gets a little bit out in front. And this guy doesn't want to be left behind. This guy goes a little bit over. And so it wasn't long. We went from 15 to 25 to 35. And what happens to my peripheral view as I speed up? It's not back there anymore. Then it starts going 55. 65, 75, 85, 90, 100, 110, 115. That day I went 116 miles an hour on my old 1979 Shelby. Wide, glide, front end, S&S Super E. I guess 115 miles an hour. Those bikes will go faster than that. But when you're hanging on to your ape hanger, that's what they call it, with 150 mile an hour wind, you know, you're not like this. You're like, whoa. And your leathers go, and your cheeks go, whoa. But I will tell you one thing. You ain't looking around. 100% of your attention is on a speck on the horizon, probably about 20 miles down the road. You need a really good road to drive like that, and a touch of insanity. Especially if you're hungover. So what am I talking about? Speed is trance-inducing. You should have watched your faces. As I sped up, I could see all of you going into trance. Because if you did want to hear what I was saying, it took all of your attention. Nobody was talking to each other anymore. Nobody was fiddling with the stuff on the tables. You guys were like this. Just like that. Speed is trance-inducing. So one of the things you want maybe to aspire to is to be able to kind of run your words together. You can talk fast, but with a relaxing tone. Some people, they talk fast. Right, and I go, there's three important things we do whenever we do hypnosis together. One of the first most important things is just listening to the sound of my voice, and certainly by following my instructions, you can go deeper and relax. The second important thing we do is from time to time, I'll have you become aware of feelings and sensations. See how my tone is very relaxed? But it's fast. You can't be thinking about anything else. So it's one of the things you might strive to do over time. But you can only do it through repetition. And then just let it start to happen. You don't have to be as fast as me to get the effect. Okay? You can go half that speed and still have the effect. But you'll notice I even do it in the induction. Take a nice deep breath, exhale. Close your eyes. You know you can relax your eyelids so much, they just won't work. Once you're sure that you've done it, hold on to that relaxation. And once you're sure, give them a check to make sure they won't work. And you start getting this kind of da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da without a lot of air space in between. Okay? That's why even when I give it, they need 2 or 3 seconds, as they send that feeling down, I'll just fill it up with the deeper you go, the better you feel, the better you feel, the deeper you go. That's good. Let's do that one more time. And just keep it da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So it's a very good technique. You guys can emerge anytime you want.
Yes, what do you do with people who are hard of hearing?
I try to refer them to other people. I've done work with many people that are hard of hearing. Now, I don't mean deaf, but hard of hearing. And it's tough because you have to yell through the whole session and it ruins your voice for other sessions. And out of habit, I'm going to start lowering my tone. And then they stop hearing me. So I will always tell them at the beginning of the session, you know, I'm speaking loud and clear now, but out of habit, my volume might come down. If that happens, it's okay for you to just say, speak louder. It's all you have to say, speak louder. I don't want them to say in hypnosis, I can't hear you. Because what is that? That's a suggestion to themselves that they can't hear me. So I just say, speak louder. And then I say, that won't interfere at all. And then we just keep going. But what irritates me is when I yell all the way through the session, they go, oh, I forgot to turn up my hearing. You mean I didn't have to yell? Yeah. Yes?
I have a couple of people that have our hard of hearing, so what I do is I use a wireless mic and earphones.
Whatever works. I don't have enough people to where it's been worth me doing that, but if I was working with a population where that was useful, that'd be great. Yeah.
Gabrielle, I only got the pleasure of challenging ourselves to do it outside this morning with weed whacker, lawnmower, and lawnblower, and jet airplanes going overhead. I couldn't get to one. I was gone when she touched me on the shoulder. But she didn't pay attention to my finger toes. She waited till it would be about 30.
Yeah, once you ask for a response, you can't take your eye off the finger.
Yeah.
What Mark does, he says, you raise your finger and keep it up, which is a good modification to the script. So that's a conversation about the deepening technique and tone and the keyword. But just say, if there's noise, you say, every sound takes you deeper, every thought takes you deeper. And if they're willing to follow that instruction, it just forces them to what? Focus more.
Yeah.
And focus is trance-inducing and an essential component to hypnosis.
And adjustability is high too, because you've got to be
in. So, review last session, induction and deepening, affect bridge age regression, uncover the ISC. Okay. Here we go. Graphically, it would look like this. Now. Every time I do it a little bit different. Okay. You're probably going to want to do your best to copy this. So I got my client, and I said, there's a feeling inside you don't like that has everything to do with why you came here today. It's like half of 1 to 5. It comes up as strong as powerful as it's ever been. 1, coming up. 2, 3, 4, 5. There it is, strong and powerful within you. In a moment, I'm going to count from 5 back to 1. When I get to 1, you're going to go back to an earlier time you felt that way. Here we go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, be there. First impression, daytime or nighttime?
Daytime.
Are you indoors or are you outdoors? Are you alone or with someone? How old are you? I'm 20. Okay, let's say my client was 40 when we started. I draw numbers because it's easy to divide and work with. Okay. So, this is now, is this an ISE? Probably not. Now I'm going to ask the five fabulous questions, the Fab Five questions. Okay? I want you to always remember, at every ISE and every SSE, you're going to be way better off if you ask these five questions. Why? Some version of what's happening. Some version of what do you think about it? Three. How do you feel about that? It or that. Four. How old are you? Is that feeling familiar or new? Okay, you guys on the internet, I know it's a little bit hard to read that, so I'll go through them again for you. What's happening? What do you think about it? Or, you know, what does that make you think? How do you feel about it? Or how does that make you feel? How old are you? Is that feeling familiar or new? That's the information we want to acquire from each situation. So, let's say I'm working with someone who has a phobia of spiders. We know it's a phobia because he's been under psychiatric treatment for it. He's been diagnosed by a psychiatrist. You do not have the ability to do that. If someone comes in and says, I have a phobia, you say, have you been diagnosed by a psychologist or a psychiatrist? If they say no, I say, well, how'd you get the idea that you got a phobia? They say, because spiders scare the crap out of me. And I say, well, you know, phobias have a certain diagnostic criteria. And unless you've been diagnosed by someone who's licensed to make a diagnosis, we shouldn't play doctor. Let's call it fear of spiders. Now, if they have been diagnosed, then we'd be silly to say we're working on fear of spiders because they've been diagnosed. And then we'd say it's, you know, phobia as per diagnosis of Dr. So-and-so. So, I got my client here, comes in my office, 40 years old, because he wants to overcome his fear of spiders or his phobia, depending on what's going on. Put him in my chair, I do my preparation, testing, and convincing. Then I say, there's a feeling inside you don't like, has everything to do with why you came in here today. Now, in this case, it's spiders, right? So I might elaborate on that a little bit by going, it's that feeling you get every time you see one of those big, eight-legged, hairy mofos, okay?
Jeez.
Okay? So, you know, I kind of use their wording to kind of resonate with them. And it comes up strong piles over there. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So here's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Good, let's follow that feeling back to earlier time we felt that way. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And we wind up here. Now you hear me saying, are you, first impression, are you indoors or outdoors? Are you alone or with someone? Okay. Daytime, nighttime. Those do not constitute the Fab Five. All I'm doing there is I'm building the background. That helps people a lot. If you just go, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, what's happening? It's like,
man, they got to kind of tune into it a little bit. And if you tell them, what's happening? What do you see? Then they'll go, I don't see anything. But if you build the background, the gestalt, technical word, the gestalt, the background and the foreground, the easiest thing probably to determine at any one thing, the grossest perception is it daytime or nighttime? You know, is it light or dark? And we get their first impression. And then we say, are you indoors or are you outdoors? I'm indoors. And while you're doing this, what's happening? I mean, it is either daytime or it is nighttime. That's not leading the client. They are either indoors or they are outdoors. Okay, they are either with someone or not with someone. And so this is not leading the client in any way.
If they're inside a room, would their memory tell them that it's daytime or nighttime?
Unless you are so ill. I mean, if we turned out, you know, all the lights right now, closed all the windows, would you know if it was daytime or nighttime?
Yeah.
That's my point. Yeah. Because we're talking to the person who is there at that time. They don't have to usually go, let me see, I'll look outside. No, because if we're in contact with who they were at that moment, people generally know if it's daytime or nighttime.
So the questions are coming before these five.
That's right. These are preparatory questions that help just get them into the picture. Okay. So daytime, nighttime, indoors, outdoors, and alone or with someone. I don't even usually very listen to that very much. I just kind of say it. You know, unless the are you with someone? If they're with someone, then my next logical question is what?
Who are you with?
Who's there? Who are you with? Okay. If they say they're not with someone, you know, I'm alone, then I will usually follow that with, are you standing, sitting, or lying down alone? Now, this is an interesting thing. Because I mean, pretty much, you are either sitting, standing, or lying down. So it's not leading the client. Pretty hard to not be in one of those situations. Unless you're in utero, and then, I don't know, then you're either upside down or right side up. But I'll tell you how to handle that. Now, daytime, nighttime, indoors, outdoors, alone, or with someone. I'm alone. Okay, alone. Are you standing, sitting, or lying down? And then I can say, what are you standing, sitting, or lying down on? Whatever they say. And I'm building the gestalt. Now, here's an interesting thing. I said, okay, alone. Are you standing, sitting, or lying down? Alone suddenly becomes their name. Because that's all I know about them. And so I will call them by some descriptive term that is relevant to the regressed aspect of the client. Okay? And at this point, all I know is that they're alone. So I'll say, okay, alone. Are you standing, sitting, or lying down? Okay, I'm standing. What are you standing on? The ground. Okay. Describe it to me. It's carpeting. Okay. How old are you? I'm 5. Okay, 5. Now 5 becomes their name. It's really important that I pick an aspect of the regressed client and call them by that characteristic, like their age. This is why. It prevents confusion in the client as to who I am talking to, grown up or the regressed. My client is usually a grown up, and so we'll call that one grown up. So when I say, okay, 5, what's happening? 5 must relive the event to tell me what's happening. If I just go, what's happening? A grown-up might go into hypermnesia, just remember, oh, back when that happened to me, you see? Mm-hmm. Oh, I kind of remember this or that. So it's better if I go, okay, sitting in the chair, how old are you? I'm 4. Okay, 4, what's happening? See how that works? So these might not be done in this order. It just kind of depends on what makes sense to ask first, second, third, fourth, given the situation. I might go, be there, first impression, daytime, nighttime, indoors, outdoors, alone or with someone. What's happening? I'm crying. Okay, I'm crying. How old are you?
I don't know.
Okay, I don't know. When someone asks you, How old are you? How many fingers do you hold up?
I'm this many.
Okay. Sometimes they, that's what they respond to. They don't know one, two. They don't have that ability to understand. But they know when someone says, I'm this many now, or I'm this many. So they'll do that. Okay, you're one. Okay, one. How do you feel about what's happening? I'm scared. Oh. So, blah, blah, blah is happening. What do you think of that? See? I'm going to find out why they're afraid. And I'm looking for congruence between the reported feeling and what they're thinking. Because of the secret language of feelings, I know what that congruence is. If they're fearful, then what they're thinking should be in line with, I'm thinking something bad's going to happen. If they go, I'm sad, then I say, what are you thinking? They should report something that's in line with, I just lost someone or something. That's where it's really important to begin to understand the secret language of feelings. Okay. So, be there. First, daytime, nighttime, indoors, outdoors, alone, or with someone. I'm with someone. I'm at the company picnic. Okay, at the company picnic. How old are you? I'm 20. Okay, 20. What's happening? Oh, well, we're at the company picnic. How are you feeling? Oh, I feel fine. Sometimes you have to move along a little bit. Okay, what's happening now? Oh, I'm reaching in the picnic basket. Mm-hmm. Now what's happening? Oh! What's happening? Oh! What's happening, 20? Oh! There's a spider on my hand. Ah, how does that make you feel? I'm freaking scared. I'm freaking out. Okay, what are you thinking? That sucker's going to bite me, man. I'm going to die or something. Okay, let me ask you a question about that feeling. Is that feeling familiar or new? Familiar, like, oh boy, here we go again, or new? Oh no, man. Every time I see a spider, I feel this way. Good. Focus on that feeling. Count three back to go back to an earlier time you felt that way. 3, 2, 1. Be there. First impression, daytime, nighttime. Daytime. Indoors, outdoors. Outdoors. Alone or with someone. I'm alone. Okay, what you doing alone? I'm picking up wood. You're picking up wood. How come you're picking up wood? Because I'm camping. Oh. Who are you camping with? My Cub Scout troop. Oh, that's interesting. How old are you? I'm 10. Okay, 10. Tell me everything as it happens. I'm picking up wood. Okay, good. Now what's happening? I'm just about ready to go back to camp. Oh, how come? I have almost enough wood. Okay, good. Now what's happening? Oh! 10, what's happening? Oh! 10, what's happening? I got a spider on my wood! Oh, how's that make you feel? I'm scared. What are you doing? I'm running around screaming. What do you think? That sucker's going to bite me. Maybe I'm going to die. Okay. Let me ask you about that feeling. Is that feeling familiar or new? Oh, I always feel this way when I see a spider. Good. Focus on that feeling. Look out for 3 back to when we go back to an earlier time. We felt that way. 3, 2, 1. Be there. First impression, daytime, nighttime, indoors, outdoors, alone or with someone. I'm alone. What you doing? I'm digging around in my toy box. Oh, how come you're digging around in your toy box? Because I'm looking for my Tonka truck. Oh, that's interesting. Now, I'm going to regress just a little bit here in my story about regressing. Now, each time they said familiar, what does that mean? That means I have felt this feeling before. That gives me permission to say, go back to an earlier time when you felt this way. If they said it was new, and I said, go back to an earlier time, then what might happen is they might go back to an earlier time in their life and completely make up an event because of their suggestibility. I suggested that it happened earlier and they could confabulate a complete experience that never happened. Because I would be working with that part of their mind that is 5, they would completely imagine the event, When I get done, that event will be stuck in part of the brain that holds the five-year-old experiences. Grown up would recall it as an actual memory. And so that's false memory. So we have to be very careful not to lead our clients. And so I'm choosing my words very carefully and my actions very carefully. So, said it was familiar. So that says I can regress further. Familiar. So I can regress further. Right? Does that seem logical now?
Right.
Okay. Good, five. What's happening? I'm digging around in my toy box. Why? I want my Tonka truck. Okay, raise your hand if you have a Tonka truck.
Cool.
That's what you say.
You do, huh?
I had a white one. It was a tow truck. That was a great toy.
Now, too much audience involvement. Sometimes audience involvement is not like tap water. Once you turn it on, it's not easy to turn it off. Now, he's right there. I said, what's happening? What's happening? What's happening? I love my Tonka truck. What are you thinking? I'm thinking that spider's going to bite me. What spider? There's a spider in my Tonka truck. Oh, okay. How do you feel? Oh, I'm scared. Okay, let me ask you about that feeling. That feeling, as you look at that spider, is it familiar or is it new? New. Okay. So we got five. Tonka truck says new. Actually, I should have put those on. Okay, good.
Is it just new that he's scared of spiders, or is being scared?
Well, there's a certain feeling that, you know, feelings can be pretty well fine-tuned. There's a feeling you get when you've been bitten by a dog and you think a dog's going to bite. It's different from other feelings. There's a meaning that's inside there. So I often say, that feeling. Is that feeling familiar or new? Sometimes it can be more confusing. But generally, if you say, that feeling, that's like if we work with you guys, I'll say, this, I got a headache. I'll say, have you ever had that headache before? No, not like this. Okay. So, new. Good. Now, what do you propose I do at this point?
Go back to an earlier time.
What's happening? He's digging in his toy truck. What's he thinking? Oh, I'm in trouble. There's a spider. It might bite me. I might die. How do you feel? I'm afraid.
Do a reality check on the spider? And his feeling towards the spider?
Not yet.
Okay.
But we're going to get there. So that's a good logical next step. What would you do? You're the therapist.
Because I've watched the videos. You double check and make sure that's the first time that they...
How would one do that?
How
would one do that?
By another one.
By regressing again.
So you're saying this might not be the ISE?
I'm saying that might not be
the ISE. But he said it was new.
Yeah.
Here, he says it's familiar.
That's never the five-year-old
thought. Well, something made you think spiders are freaky besides their ugly-looking face.
Go back to an earlier
time. Harry eight-legged mofos.
Back to an earlier
time.
Ask them, if they can go back to the first time they felt that.
So I have doubt? Okay, there's a lot of things I can do, and they're in the manual. You should have read it, okay? In the chapter on age aggression. Now, one of the things, when I first learned about age aggression, I was taught that that was the ISE. And now I know, having done many, many sessions of age aggression, that all those times where I was fooled into thinking that was the ISE, I really let my client down. Now, so how would we do this? Now, we can't use, I used to say, focus on that feeling, we count from three back to one, and we're going to go back to the first time you felt that way. What's wrong with that?
He already identified that it's the first time that he felt that feeling.
So? What's wrong with that?
Well, you just said that that created false memory.
Okay, what part of what I said was incorrect?
That
I said, I'll count from three back to one. You will be at the first time you felt this way. I didn't.
I'm going to be back.
If this is the first time, then I'm directing them here, right? I'm going to count from three back to one. When I get to one, you will be at the first time you felt this way. If this was the first time, I should wind up here, right?
Well, if you're implying that that was not the first time, but if you're saying it's not the first time.
I never said that. I said, say, good. In a moment, I'm going to count from three back to one. When I get to one, you will be at the very first time you felt this way. What's wrong with that?
Nothing.
There is something wrong with it, but you haven't found it yet. In fact, there's a couple things wrong with it. One is, I didn't say go back to an earlier time. Each one of these here, I said go back to an earlier time. And I'm only allowed to say earlier if they say familiar.
Yeah.
So I'm doing it better by saying I'm counting three back to one. When I get to one, go to the first time. So I'm not suggesting an earlier time. I'm just suggesting go to the first time.
And why couldn't you do the first time, you know, when he was 40?
Because that's another thing I was taught. It almost never works. I remember I was taught, okay, bring up the thing and tell him, go back to the first time you ever felt this way. And you know what I discovered? They almost never do. Mm-hmm. They almost always go a few more bumps back. So what does that mean? They've failed. Because you said, go back the first time, boom, they didn't do it, and I don't like my clients failing. And I have to go, boom, go the first time, and they don't. Go to the first time, and they don't, maybe after three or four times. So that's what they typically do, is go to an earlier time. So I started suggesting, go to an earlier time.
Well, I don't know what's wrong with what you just said, but I know that the book says you will be at the first time, instead of go to the first time.
Doesn't matter. The problem with what I'm saying is, I'm saying, see, I count it backwards every time here. If I count backwards, even though I don't say back, I've associated counting backwards with going backwards. And so, and some of my older stuff, like the hypnosis hypnotherapy book doesn't have this, because this is new, we're always improving.
Can you ask a question? Has there been any time prior you had a feeling like this one? Is that not a good question?
That's not affect bridge.
Okay.
That's talking to the conscious mind of the regressed client.
I understand.
There's no difference between saying, is this familiar and new, and saying, is there any prior time where you've experienced this feeling, except that you wouldn't use words like that with a five-year-old?
Right.
It's just like, huh? And if you do that, what happens is grown-up will talk. Yeah. And then you're working from hypermnesia instead of revivification. So what we do is we say, in a moment, I'm going to touch you three times or tap you three times. Or I'm going to touch you on the head. You just need some kind of segue that's neutral in direction. Okay. So I don't count backwards. I don't say the word back. See, here I said, I'm going to count from three back to one, back. And you'll go back to an earlier time you felt this way. And that's how I found that. And I could only do that because I had familiar. Now he says new, I can't use back, I can't count backwards, I can't do any of that stuff. So I'll say, in a moment, I'm going to touch you on the head three times. One, two, three. Now in this case, I'm counting forward. If they go back, that's even more evidence that there was a previous experience, because if I was suggesting anything, it would be going forward. Or I could just say, I'm about to touch you on the forehead. When I do, you will be at or go to the very first time you felt this way. So we get rid of all suggestion of indicating of going backwards, because that can cause a confabulation in a small percentage of clients. Most people just tell you, hey, I can't go back any further. So I'll show you what happens. So here's five. And I say, and he just saw a Tonka truck and a spider. And I say, focus on that feeling. I'm going to touch you on the forehead. When I touch you on the forehead, you'll be at the first time, the very first time you felt this way. Tap, first impression, daytime, nighttime, daytime. Indoors, outdoors, indoors. Alone or with someone, with someone. who you with?
Mom.
Oh. What's happening? I'm sitting on the floor in the kitchen. Oh. See, we're in a different scenario. So we just went back. Farther. How old are you?
I'm 3.
Oh, okay, 3. What you doing? I'm sitting on the floor in the kitchen. Okay, 3. What's happening? I'm playing with my new Tonka truck. Oh, you are. That's good. You like your Tonka truck? Yeah. Describe it to me. It's white and it's got letters on the side. Sometimes I'll have people describe stuff. It pulls them more into the revivification. It is a deepening technique. Now what's happening? He's not freaking out yet. So I just keep going on. What's happening? What's happening? I'm with Mom in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. How come you're with Mom in the kitchen? She's making sandwiches. Oh, what kind of sandwiches?
Peanut butter sandwiches.
Oh, you like peanut butter sandwiches? Good. What's happening now? What's happening? What's happening, 3? Mom's screaming. Mom's screaming? How come?
I don't know.
What do you think about that?
I wish I knew what was going on.
Must be something terrible. Oh, how do you feel? I'm scared. What's happening now? Mom's screaming. Uh-huh. Now what's happening? Oh, Dad's coming in. What's happening now? Mom's pointing in the cupboard. She's still screaming. She says, spider! Okay, what's happening now? Dad's sticking the broom in the cabinet. Going like this. What's happening? Oh, Mom looks terrible. I think she's crying. Now it's happening. They're telling me it's going to be okay now because the spider's dead. How you feel? Oh, that was scary. Let me ask you a question about that feeling, 3. Is that feeling familiar? Like, oh boy, here we go again. Or is it new? Like you never felt that way.
New.
I'm thinking you couldn't climb a crumb snatch a wild monster. That's what you said last time. Let me tell you something about children. They will lie to you. And not even know it. 3, 4, 5, they're not exactly in touch with reality. Kids will lie to you because they believe it's true. Children will believe in the craziest, most psychotic things. Santa Claus, the Easter Bunny, the Boogeyman. Okay? So their grasp on reality is not so good. They'll also lie to you because if they think it's going to get them out of trouble. They'll lie to you if they think they're going to get rewarded for it. So they're not reliable. They'll lie to you just because they didn't understand the question. So, when they say new, we always go back again. Or what we do is we say we're going to go to the first time. And we will typically go back again. And again, they're going to say it's new. What do we do now? Exactly what we did before. We say, good. Focus on the feeling. I'm going to touch you on the head, I'm going to touch you 3 times, or whatever you're going to do. You need some kind of segue. And segue just means going from one thing to the next. And you will be at the very first time you felt this way. Touch, touch, touch. Be there. First impression, daytime, nighttime, indoors, outdoors, alone, or with someone. What's happening? I'm sitting on the floor. What you doing sitting on the floor playing my truck? How old are you? I'm 3. What's happening? Mom's making sandwiches. Is that right? Kind of looks like we're back where we were, right? Uh-huh. And we'll go through that again until we validated that we are back there. So now we've got 2 things to validate an ISE. 1, they say it's new, but in and of itself, that's not sufficient. Another thing. We tell them, again, go to the first time, and they wind up at the same thing. Here's a 3rd thing we can do to validate. Take them just before the event. You say, in a moment I'm going to count from 3 back to 1. Now we can count back to 1 because what? We're going to take them a few minutes backwards in time. Okay? And when I count, get back to 1, you're going to be just a few minutes before this ever happened. 3, 2, 1. And we'll just do a little bump back. I call those bumps. I don't know why. A little bump back. This is like 3 minutes, right? Okay. And now I've got to check to see if the emotion is there related to the problem. I'll go 3. How do you feel about spiders? And he goes, why is there a spider around here? What does that mean? I am not at ISC.
No, you're not.
And I say, focus on that feeling. Let's go to an earlier time you felt that way. And we'll continue the regression. But if he's not afraid of spiders, I should get 3-year-old, I'm not afraid of spiders type answers. I'll say, 3, what do you think about spiders? Oh, I like spiders. You do? Yeah. Grandma's got lots of spiders at her house. Really? Yeah. I like the brown ones. How come you like the brown ones? It tastes like peanut butter. You know, that's 3, everything in their mouth. So obviously at that point, I'm before the ISC.
Would you please repeat for me the 3 tests for validation? One was going to
be right here in the book.
They are.
Yeah. If you read the chapter on age regression.
43, sorry.
Yeah, well, on page 44.
I should have done one more.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'm going over the most important ones. There's more. So, 1, they should say it's new. 2, upon continued suggestion that they go to the first time, they don't go any earlier, they go right here, back to where the earliest time you visited. You go before that, and the fear of the problem is not there. Then what we're going to do is we're going to do, now we've got our thing going here. So this is grown up. This is SSE, subsequent sensitizing event. This is an SSE, subsequent sensitizing event. This is an SSE, subsequent sensitizing event. This is now dubbed ISE, right? This right here is before ISE. When I first learned do age regression work, I was taught that I'm supposed to work with the child in the ISC. That was wrong, because I found out that once the child has already been traumatized, what happens? The critical factor rejects my suggestions and there's resistance to the information they need. So we do the informed child technique here. I informed child technique. And what we do, the informed child technique, we give them whatever information or experience that they need so they can go through the ISE again as it actually happened, but informed, such that they don't pick up the erroneous perceptions that led to the erroneous emotions that caused the problem. So what would I do? So we go before, and I'll say, good, be grown up. And that quickly, the personality would change, they'll become grown up. I said, grown up, it would be nice if you knew back then what you know now. How many times have you said that to yourself? Boy, I wish I would have known that. But properly done age regression will allow you to know back then what you know now in some very real physiological ways. We're going to inform the part of your brain that is holding the misinformation, the part of you that is then.
Yes? Do you tell the child to go into the background, or you just tap and say, be grown up? That happens anyway.
Yeah, I'm pretty terse. You know, I pare everything down to the minimum. I say, be grown up. And they go, huh? Yeah?
But unlike the ISE, and you go before and you find there's one event before, does it always have to be about spiders? Could you just be mom screaming about something?
Just whatever.
Looked like the spiders. The next time it happened, he had a whole vivification with spiders.
In fact, a lot of times when you work with phobias, it does, the actual becoming afraid of the item is an SPE. And they had kind of a free-floating anxiety that pre-existed the attachment to the object or animal or whatever. But here I want to do a very simple example of where there's no SPE separate from the ISE, symptom-producing event. In most of the, where I work with the phobia, the child perceives themselves to be unsafe. But it usually has to do with the child perceiving not enough mothering is going on. Okay, and they don't feel safe and comfortable. And so there's this kind of ongoing anxiety, and that leaves them susceptible to attaching that anxiety to some item, object, or whatever. And hence, the defining factor of a phobia is that the phobia is irrational. I remember I've worked with one of the craziest irrational fears I ever worked with was fear of balloons. I mean, this lady, grown lady, counselor, could not be in a room where there was a balloon. A terrifying fear. So if I did the age regression with her, I'm going to go, and I would find that the fear pre-existed the balloon, whatever, some symptom-producing event attached the fear to the balloon. Okay. Starting to look pretty interesting. So I go, okay, three, you like, I'll have to try one of them brown spiders someday and see for myself if they taste like peanut butter. Funniest thing's going to happen. Oh, wait, I'm talking to grown-up. Talk to grown-up. Be grown-up. Grown-up, realize if you knew then what you know now, right? Yes, good. I mean, did anything really bad happen? No. Was mother's fear exaggerated? I mean, nothing happened to mom, right? No. Nothing happened to dad. So that whole event was kind of exaggerated. Let me ask you, were you in any real danger in that moment? No. Okay, if you're in no danger at all, does it make sense to be afraid? No. I mean, if you knew then what you know now, would you need to be afraid at all? No. Good. Because the moment I'm going to count from three back to one, when I get to one, you, grown up, and me are going to meet with the child. And we're going to tell him everything he needs to know, so when he does go through that exactly as you did, he won't be afraid. Is that okay with you? Yes. Good. Here we go. 3, 2, 1. And then I will bring grown up with me to the child before the ISC. And I will say, okay, three, let me tell you about grown up. Grown up could never lie to you because he is you. So everything he said got to be true. If he felt like lying to you at all, you'd know before the words ever came out of his mouth, so you can believe him completely. How do you like that? Three always likes that. Good. Be grown up. Grown up, lay it on. Tell him what you wish you'd known then. Inside of you are the words that he needs to hear, so you can go through that event without being afraid at all. Do it. Now here is a defining moment. This is why you can actually train to be a hypnotherapist or a hypnotist or whatever you want to call it in 10 days. And if you study all the materials we offer, you can really be good at it in just a few months. I mean, really good. I mean, you can do stuff that nobody else can do. And why a psychologist and a psychiatrist takes 7 to 8 years to do it is because the psychologist or the psychiatrist has to know what's good for you. They have to know what you need to know. We're different. Our complete orientation is different. We believe that what the client needs to know is already in there. That's why I don't have to spend 6 months to 6 years exploring the background of my client through the looking glass of the conscious mind so that I can finally put together everything for him and present it to him. So many months or years later. Because I can do this event, this process, and then it's all revealed. And grown up knows what three needs to know. See? do it. Now, sometimes some people are more insightful, more verbal than others, and you got to coach a little bit. Okay. So he says, three, let me tell you what's going to happen. Mom's going to see this spider. She's going to scream. And you know what? There's nothing to be afraid of. That spider's not going to hurt you. I can guarantee it. I lived through it. You lived through it. It's going to be fine. I said, good, B3, you believe him? I like spiders. Good. So sometimes I'll recap. I'll say, yeah, it's going to be the funniest thing you ever seen. I don't know why. Maybe it startles her. I don't know why. Mom's going to open the place where the peanut butter and jelly is, and she's going to see this spider. Maybe it tickles her hand. I don't know. But she's going to see it. She's going to scream. This is the funniest thing is going to happen is Dad's going to come in and try to calm her down. And she makes it so plain that she's not going to calm down, that spider is dead. So then you're going to see Dad stick a broom where you've never seen a broom stuck before. In the cabinet. Okay. Poor spider. Okay. You ready? Okay. Good. Here we go. Now I'm counting from one to three. When I get to three, you're going to go through that event. Here we go. One, two, three. And they go through the event exactly as it happened. What changes is their perception and the meaning and the emotions. We don't want to change the ISC. It stays the same. So, what's happening? Oh, Mommy's screaming, just like you said. Funny, Mom. What's happening now? Oh, here comes Dad. Oh, he's sticking the broom in the cabinet. Oh, what's happening now? Funny, Mommy. Funny, Daddy. Good. You're not as scared? Nothing to be afraid of. Beautiful. Good. Be grown up. You proud of him?
Yes, I am.
Good. Tell him. And then he'll say, I'm proud of you. You did so good. See? And that even adds to the meaning of the experience and sets it in. Because we want to hang on to things like that. You see? I'll say, good. Beautiful. Grown up in a moment, count from one to three. He's going to be five. That time when you were looking around at in your toy box for the Tonka truck. Is he now able to go through that experience without being afraid at all? Or do you need to tell him anything? Now, inside a grown-up, he knows whether or not new information is necessary or not. Ta-da. Okay? Well, he's got a pretty good idea. It's fairly reliable. And maybe he says, okay, then I better tell him. Okay, good. And so tell him. He says, okay, what's going to happen is you're going to be looking at a toy truck, in the toy box for your toy truck. There'll be a spider in it. But, you know, it's just fine. It doesn't hurt you. Da, 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 da. Okay, good. B3. Okay, well, I count to three. When I get to three, you're going to be five, and there's going to be a spidey on the old Tonka truck. Is that okay with you? Oh, yeah, that's fine. Good. Okay, here we go. One, two, three. Well, then he's there. We run through the event as it happened. Okay? Find out if he's afraid. And we continue to do that all the way through these events until we get to now. Now, let me back up a little bit. What if the individual becomes afraid in one of these events? You know, we don't do a perfect job. We're back here at 3, minus 3 minutes. We do the informed work. Then we send him through, and he does much better, but he's still a little bit afraid. Could happen. Happens sometimes. I don't freak out. A lot worse on him than it is on me. Okay? I just say, everything stops. Like I push the pause button on a VCR. DVD player. I always say VCR, but if they're really young, I might have to switch over to DVD player. Just like I push pause on the TV. And grown-up then comes in and saves him. Okay? Grown-up, let's go in and save him. We go in and say, I'll be here for you. I'll never let you down. You're never going to be alone. I say, good. Grown up, is there any reason at all for him to be afraid? No. Good. Then inside you, the words he needs to hear so that you can convince him. I can't do this for you. Okay? Do it. And then he'll tell him something he didn't tell him before. Reassure him in some way I haven't done before. And I'll say, good. Three. If that's, do you believe him? Yeah. How you doing? Oh, I'm doing much better. Let me ask something. If that same exact thing happened again, would you have to be afraid at all? No, I can do it now. Good. Because it's going to happen all over again. 3, 2, 1, and I run them through it again. And I run them through the ISC, coaching them or whatever we need to do until they can get through it. And they go, oh, he did so good. He was only a tiny bit afraid. Grown up, did he get hurt at all? No. Then is there any reason to be hurt and afraid at all? No. Inside of you, the world, I don't want any of that left because it'll grow back. Just like a, you know, part of a weed's root in the backyard. It'll come back. I mean, if there is no reason to be afraid, then I want them to completely accept that and go through it completely unafraid. And I'll say, okay, grown up, this chance may never come again. You need to say something you haven't said before. Heart to heart. Come on. Save them from a lifelong fear of spiders. You can do that. Do it. And then he might get in there and more passion, a little bit more convincing, or maybe some new information. So now 3, if that ever happened again, would you have to be afraid at all? No, I can do it now. Good. Here we go. 3, 2, 1. And have them run through it again. Until we can get through it with no fear at all. Once that's done, then we'll start moving through these. If we get hung up on one of these where they're fearful and they don't need to be fearful, we'll do the same thing. Then we go on and on until we get to this point here. Then we bring them up to now. And then we... Yes, Mark?
What happens if the ISC involves a sexually traumatizing event?
No difference. In fact, on Monday, if you ask me that question, I will tell you. So you have to come back next week for the sex part. That always brings them back. I can't promise you drugs. Maybe a little rock and roll. Yeah, that's one thing. That's the next thing I'm going to talk about in this. I'm going to talk about how do you handle it when maybe there is something to be afraid of. What if something terrible did happen? And I'll get into that.
To clarify, let's say you've successfully moved them through age 3 and 5, and at 10 they get scared. Then you go back to the course.
Everything stops.
Uh-huh.
Come on, grown up, let's go save them. And he goes up to him at 10. He says, "I told you I'd be here for you. I'll never let you down. You're never going to be alone because I love you and I understand." I say, "Okay, come on, grown up, do it." And then we'll tell him whatever he needs to
do. Do you have to go back to 3, 5, and 10 again? Or
no, if I'm right here and all, but he did fine here, did fine here, but here there's fear, then we just deal with it here. Yeah. And then we get down, we go here. Back row?
Kim, question. Now, if you did this to my lovely bride, Angela, you'd get back 5 days. Because she has a fear of spiders, and this gets to be such a comedy routine around my house. Sometimes it's annoying, but I mean, it's like every night, because we live in the country, and they come indoors, and, you know, she screams about spiders, and I go out and kill, you know, brave man, go out and kill spider, go back to bed. And is there a way to segue on somebody that's just like, you know, I mean, it's comical anymore. But she has, like, every night or every other night, there's a spider scream, blah, blah, blah. So follow the feeling. For her, it'd be like the night before.
Well, you would need to, you're asking me what I would do?
Yeah.
I would, if it was my wife?
No, you're the therapist.
Oh, you said your wife.
Yeah.
And
if
you were killing the spider.
My wife. If you were doing this therapy on my wife.
Okay. If I was doing hypnotherapy on your wife.
Yeah.
I'd do exactly this.
But would you take her back to a previous age first to avoid the every 5 days?
Yeah.
Oh,
he's saying it occurs so much.
The SSEs would be numerous, is what
there
I hear.
There could be thousands or
whatever. That's not what they do. They go to the most salient.
Okay.
The most emotionally packed is where they tend to go.
That's what I'm wondering.
Mm-hmm. Okay. One of the other validating points we have, which is in the manual for ISC, is it has to make sense given the known history of the client. So, if I have a client that has seen a psychiatrist since the age of 6 for a particular issue, like fear of spiders. They might even have made some progress by then. and they start going bing, bing, bing every few days, I will just pop them back to it. I'll say, go back to the time when you were six and you were a spider feeling this way. Because I know it's true, it's documented. Okay? And we'll just skip over all that stuff. But I want to have at least three or four SSEs
to clean up.
Because they reinforce the change
yeah.
that happened in the ISE.
Yeah.
So I'll get three or four and then I might do something like that.
Another, your question of what gets you with your wife, that's like for bar talk.
Well, no, what I'm saying is I wouldn't work with my wife. I'd send her to a hypnotherapist that I trusted. Yeah.
Yeah.
When you take the grown-up and have a conversation with the three-year-old, are you going in the 3 minutes before the event?
Yes, before, right here.
So does every time that you go back to restate in a more convincing manner, to the grown-up is saying it in a more convincing manner to the three-year-old, does that -3 minute event, does what he said at the beginning clear off and that new information is now input?
Or? I have no idea what you just asked me.
Okay.
I only look like I understand.
Okay. If the grown-up is talking to the three-year-old just before the event, and the first time he says, I'm proud of you, blah, 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 but it's not good enough to get through the ISE without fear.
You don't say I'm proud of you until after he's gone to the ISE without the fear.
Okay, regardless, he says something, that, and then he goes through it, but the ISE fear is still there. Now, when the grown-up does it again, does that information that the grown-up gave that three-year-old before erase from memory?
No.
Okay.
It just adds to.
And does that three-year-old remember going through it multiple
yes.
times?
Okay. Yep.
What is the phrasing that you use to, like say at the ISC, the phrasing you use to get to the point before the ISC?
In a moment, count from three back to one. When I get to one, you'll be a few minutes before this.
Okay.
3, 2, 1.
And then to differentiate between you brought in grown up, and to get them back to that before the ISE point.
Be grown up. Grown up, and I'm going to count from three back to one, and we're going to be with three before this ever happened.
Okay.
3, 2, 1. Be there. Good. Take a break. Let's do a 15-minute break.
You did, didn't you?
How do you verify if someone is revivifying if they're pre-verbal?
Like, ask me when everyone gets back.
Okay.
Good question.
I'm glad we got videos.
Yeah, so we can go back.
Yep. Set up.
She's got a question regarding order buying product right now.
Did I
today I would like to purchase the business pack because this weekend I'm going to be here with nothing to do with my computer and opening a business shortly after I return.
And your pack will charge you next week. How's that?
Would that
just
be okay?
Just make a note.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm such an understanding.
There you are.
Danny will mark it down somehow so we can move it.
Well, and I will be, but I can't every single minute, you know.
Thank you.
because otherwise they hardly even see them. I've been very often, or at least this husband. And he asked me to say, your daughter's sorry. And he was going home with me. I'm not leaving. Well, of course, the thing's been, and live so far away, I won't drive home.
Won't you be lonely?
That's okay. I'll just be up there smelling spiders. I should ask her, hey, what do you do about the spiders?
I mean, as far as what you have, you have what you've done. That isn't all that you're tired of.
Want to go to whatever we're doing.
It's going to be too.
I'm going to feel like I have to correct. Every kid who's doing something dangerous, I'm going to be, well, maybe I won't anymore. Maybe I kind of flushed that out of my system a little bit. Well, it was listed for $54, but he crossed that out and said you'll get a discount on that. So I don't know how that paid something less than $54. But then all those forms are on a CD that's in there, so you just have to type them on there. And I know that the hypnotherapist I went to had this, and then his like intake sheet where it said what are the benefits you want to get people out of here. It just makes so much more sense than having to come up with all that stuff.
That's what I thought.
That's new.
You got the translator.
Like that.
Well, I think it's really
terrific. But it's easy to look
at
that
too. Right.
5% of the Blonde hair, blue eyes.
Okay, and a couple more things, and we're going to watch a video. Now, sometimes, what? Now we get into the good stuff. Okay, textbook case, but I want to warn you. Sometimes it doesn't work out perfectly. We'll tell them, go back to an earlier time you felt that way. And they go to five. Somebody say familiar, no. And they say no. I say, good, I'm going to touch on the head three times on the third time. I want you to be the very first time you felt that way. Touch, touch, touch.
Uh-huh.
Then they go to 20.
Fine.
Okay, what's happening? Da, 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 da. And now let's go back to an earlier time you felt that way. So they might do this kind of out of order, so you got to kind of, you know, keep that in mind. That some, what happens is, in my mind, when they go to an earlier time, and then you say go to an earlier time, and they go to a later time, one of two things happens. One, they could be avoiding going to that earlier time. They just don't want to go there. The other is, sometimes when they go to the earlier time, it makes a subsequent time seem more important, and they want to go there too. You can't tell. You don't care. You just keep drilling back till you get to ISC. So just let you know sometimes they'll bounce around. Yes?
I know you say that you go back until you get to the ISC. Sometimes I tend to find resistance, but then that's because of probably my inadequacies in those areas or less experience. But I do tend to find resistance in that area. They keep
taking what form?
Ping pong ball running around.
Yeah. Okay. Well, if they're here and they start bouncing around here, 20, 18, 17, I'll say, listen to me, 17. This is fun. But now you're going to go to a time before. I just get more directive. I mean, like if I've been here and they said familiar, then I'm not interested. I'll go one or two here and I'll say, listen to me. I'm going to count from three back to one. You're going to be at a time when you are 5 years old or younger. Nod your head.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. Now, if they said familiar, then I know that it pre-existed this event. And I'll just say, go to that age or earlier, and boom, go back there. Because, you know.
But you never use your direction, directive, but you never did say, yeah, I
remember. I've had people go, are you mad at me? And I go, well, let's see. Anger comes from the perception of not fair. You told me you're going to follow my instructions, and you're not! So, I'm in the myth-ticked PO'd range. You don't want to see me when I'm really mad. If I was to deny my anger, that'd be incongruent with what I'm teaching. But I'm also smart enough to differentiate between anger and frustration. If they're doing something that's not fair, and I'm feeling angry, I will say, yes, I'm angry about this, because you told me you would do this, and you're not. And according to what I teach, it's normal for someone to become angry when it's not fair, and that's not fair. You come to my office, say you're going to do this, and you're not. Now, I'm not raging angry about this, but to an appropriate degree, I'm a little myth-tick, PO'd, or whatever you want to call about this. Are we going to do this or not? Okay. The other kind of feeling that feels like anger is frustration. Someone says, are you angry with me? And I'll say, wait a minute. I did this and it didn't work, and I did this and it didn't work. No, I'm not angry, I'm frustrated. Okay? If you're willing to keep going, I will too. Frustration means what I'm doing isn't working. Okay? I have a few more, but that's okay. I know exactly what to do. Okay, good. And I keep going. So you want to be congruent with what you're teaching. I've been angry with clients before. Not as much as I used to. I used to get really angry really fast because I didn't have the clarity. Because if you don't understand the difference between frustration and anger, you will get angry because you will perceive the fact that it isn't working as being unfair. And you'll project anger from your past on a situation that's really frustration. Yes. John. So there's a feeling inside you don't like that. It has everything to do with why you came here today. And it's that feeling that says, by golly, I've got to have a cigarette. Focus on that feeling. I've got to have a cigarette. And follow it back. Another technique is, take them back. Like, let's say they've been smoke-free for a week. And then all of a sudden, they caved. Perfect. I know exactly what to do. I'll do a date time regression to that date and that time when they caved, because that's the emotion. Whatever emotion they had then, I said, don't worry about it. I know exactly what to do. Put them in hypnosis and say, a moment, count from three back to one. You're going to be at that time last week when you caved in and had that cigarette. 3, 2, 1. What's happening? You know, we're going to find out what the emotion was. And I say, good. What are you thinking? I got to have a cigarette. What are you feeling? I'm going to kill this moment. SOB, right? Good. Focus on that feeling, and then I'll start following it back and get the ISC. Yes?
Is that always, do smokers always line up for the same base reason?
Nope. We usually start for the same reason, but we keep going for all kinds of reasons. Smoking is usually a joining in behavior. You know, not always. But a lot of times it's a joining in behavior. We get into a group of people that smoke. And people with purple hair hang out with people with purple hair. People who wear leather jackets and ride Harleys hang out with people with leather jackets and wear Harleys. And then if they say, what are you doing? You say, I want to be different. Right? Yeah, you want to be different just like everybody else you're hanging around with. So there is this flocking kind of thing that especially is important to us when we're in our teen years and early 20s. So most people start smoking as a joining in behavior. But everyone's getting out of the smoking thing, and now we're being more and more left by ourselves as a smoker. And so the quitting smoking is a joining in behavior. So, but people, once we've discovered something, and that is that we can use smoking as a way to manage our emotions, that's why we continue smoking.
But it really doesn't matter if you take them back to last week and started smoking for this reason last week, pick it up, or the week before they were smoking for that other reason, you're using that as a bridge, back that bridge, go back to the food that we're starting.
Well, there's, I'm going to get into next week, application. Right now we got to lay that, if you don't have a solid foundation of the theory and principles, if I start getting into application, that's just going to scramble your eggs.
Okay.
So, and this is what I'm going to do, is smoking and weight loss are so important that I'm going to cover the foundations, and then I'm going to cover it in class, and then I've got a recorded version of me doing the talk with one of our interns. I'm really talking to them. I say, okay, here's, because we start our interns off with smokers. Generally, they just see smokers. Then once they've had a month at least of that, then they do weight loss and smoking. Once they've done that, now they know pretty much all they need to know to handle anything. And then we broaden them out. So there's a little training. I sit down one-on-one with the interns and give. I've recorded that, and I'm going to give it to you. And both for smoking and weight loss. So it's included in the class. Okay. And then if you have questions after that, we can answer them.
There is an initial sensitizing event that occurs when one is pre-verbal.
I don't know what to say about
it. I'm in my crib, and I'm 1 year old, or I'm 8 months old, and I'm looking at my mobile, and something happens to me, but I can't talk yet. So when I'm revivifying that, how do I communicate with you as my therapist?
They borrow the lexicon and verbal ability of the adult because I'm suggesting to them that they can talk. We don't change history at all, except that they now have an ability they didn't have before. And they just do it. So I've got someone that's 6 months old, and I say, you know, be there, first impression, daytime, nighttime, daytime, indoors, outdoors, indoors. You see, it's implicit in my suggestion that they can respond to me, so they suddenly do. You know, what do you think about that? Now, for the first time ever, 6 months is able to talk about what it's thinking and what it's feeling. And it's just, in and of itself, it's very powerful and healing. So it's just the way it is.
Now, when we're in hypnosis, this is going on, because I've done other stuff in other states of regressions, and there's that wonderful, crappy numbness, tingling, when you can't figure out what's going on, when you're either in the chair or what they're going through. When we're in this state, that doesn't happen, doesn't come up, or they're just kind of like the shock of whatever was going on, just like they're buzzing from it, but can't identify its source of.
Well, they're at least level 4 somnambulism.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
And so they hallucinate whatever I suggest to them.
Okay, good. That eliminates that terrible sit and wait until something happens.
Yeah, just say, stuff. Be there. And that boom. And if it doesn't work, you either don't have a deep enough level of hypnosis or they're refusing.
Yeah.
Just out of curiosity, what's the youngest ISE you've encountered?
It's something that cannot be understood in time.
No.
Because there is no limit. I've gone back through multiple experiences of time and space with a few people to find the ISE. There is a thing called samskara. Does anyone know what that is? What's that? Samskara translates from the Sanskrit to literally mean scar on the soul. Samskara. And so some people have a scarred soul, and you have to find the beginning of the scarring of the soul. So you can go back. However, I won't do the work there, but I will find out what it is. The work I do is that in this life. I've found that you don't need to do that. The ultimate recognition in the first recognition, when and if you ever get to the ultimate recognitions, the first recognition is designed to heal samskara. Because you must have your samskara healed, if you have them, in order to utilize the high vibration of the ultimate recognitions. So if there's anything that you're carrying from past lives, the first recognition, the ultimate form, is designed to do that. And only after you've made significant advancements at that level can you utilize and ascend from the vibration that's offered to you in the ultimate recognitions. The ISC happens in this life. We can't treat people in the past life with the efficacy that we can in this life. I will talk about that next week.
Okay.
I bet you every one of you is back here next week. Sex, past life, regression.
Past life.
We got the fundamentals down. Okay. So, I'm going to show you a videotape of an age regression session done with a lady named Michelle. Her age regression is a relatively simple one, where Ghana's regression is pretty much the age regression from hell. It's very complicated, and I use a shitload of techniques, and so it's a hard place to start from. And fortunately, I was able to get this one from Michelle, which is pretty much linear, meaning you go this way, down the line, and then
back that way down the line without very much resistance. So you can see it in a very simple form on a real client. Now, Michelle was our receptionist in Minnesota a few years ago. I had never done a session with her, but she had done one session with one of our other therapists for a different issue. She was starting, she had done phase one with one of our other therapists, Deborah Walker, and I was going, just about every year I go to the convention and do, I do several talks, but one of them was usually on age regression because I'm kind of an age regression expert. And there is a particular hypnotic induction that is good for age regressions that is an advanced induction. The Al-Mabany induction takes about 2 minutes. The eight-word induction takes about 4 to 5 seconds. This induction takes 0 seconds. It instantaneously takes them from the normal waking state into somnambulism and an age regression all at once. It is what I refer to as the air induction. Air guitar, no guitar, right? Air induction, no induction. I trigger an age regression from a normal waking state. So most hypnotherapists have never seen this done, much less ever get an idea of how it works. So I, as part of my age regression class, I wanted to show a video of that. And so she volunteered. I wanted to work on a different issue than what she was already seeing her other therapists for, because I didn't want to interfere with the continuity of what they were doing. So she came up with this issue. She says, whenever someone tries to hug me, I get a scary feeling inside. She says, my heart just races. She says, it's like in a scary movie where you're waiting, 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 boom, and then something happens. Well, she's explaining kind of like a panic attack kind of a thing. And I said, perfect. And so you're going to watch me do the induction with her and then take her back through time, find the ISE, take care of the ISE, and then move back up through time. Oh, there's one thing I want to talk about on this that I didn't do. We also, once we've got 40 and we've neutralized all this stuff in the past, I recommend that you go 1, 2, or 3 times in the future. Okay, so future sensitizing events. Sensitizing events. So what we want to do is to have him go into the probable future, respond to Spidey, you know, in a normal way. And this is usually pretty easy because there's usually an event coming up in the future that causes them to come in for the therapy. I could say, so you're coming in for fear of spiders. Why now? Why not last year, 5 years ago? They said they've had all their life. They'll say, oh, well, now I'm going to be taking, I've got a company picnic coming up. And then I have to take my son on a camping trip. You know, I'm going to be doing some renovation on the old house where I grew up. You know, so there's some things coming up where they would anticipate they'd have the problem. So after I've neutralized the problem, I'd run them to those events. So that's where age regression and age progression comes in. It sets a mental expectancy for success. Okay, so you'll see me do that stuff. Now here's a really important point in this video for you to watch for. Once I find the ISC, the ISC is about 3 to 4 seconds long. The actual event that puts the thought in her mind that causes the fear. After that, sometimes when you change their perception about what happened to ISC, they would act differently and they would respond differently. And so long as it doesn't incriminate someone, like certainly if someone came to me and said, I think my uncle molested me as a child, that's what my counselor says, and I have no memory, I'd never put someone in hypnosis and say, now we're going to go back in time to a time when your uncle molested you as a child, because we don't know that's true. but there, we do allow some wiggle room. If someone goes through an event, for example, where I said the kid goes, I don't like you, Mom, and then the kid, the mother slaps and says, oh, I wish I never would have had you. Well, if I go before and say that Mom's just having a bad day, well, before when that happened, when he got slapped, he went off his room and cried, right? Well, and after he goes to the being slapped again, and instead of thinking, oh, there's something wrong with me, I'm so stupid, maybe Mom's not going to take care of me anymore, we did the informed child goes to the event going, oh boy, Mom's having a bad day. And maybe it wouldn't make sense that right afterward he'd go to his bedroom and cry, perhaps. So there might be some slight change in history, but it's really meaningless because it happens after the ISE. It doesn't incriminate someone else. It will allow them to have that kind of wiggle room. Now, with Michelle, it's very interesting. She wants to keep changing the ISE as if it had happened differently. So we go back, we do the informed child, she runs through it, and she has the event happen differently. Now, I can't criticize the client. I let her have that experience, because usually when they do that, each time they do it, they get closer to being able to experience it as it really did happen. So they get done, I go, how do you feel? Oh, I feel so much better. And I say, but that's not the way it really happened, was it? Grown up, tell her whatever she needs here so she can get through it as it really happened. And we had to run her through it like two or three times before she was able to go through it as it really happened without picking up the thoughts and the feelings that she had picked up originally when she went through it so many years ago. Okay? Okay, there is no sheet to read as you watch this video. So watch it. Maybe, I don't know, maybe you'll try to draw out a chart like this in front of you to track what's happening. And see if, just for fun, see if you can keep track of it. See how that works for you. And then afterwards we'll talk about it. Okay?
On the screen,
can
you go step S here rather than
F-C?
Is it the same thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let me look at the chart. No, that's future self. Yeah. When I refer to this person here, that's just like this is grown up, and this is 10. If I speak to this person, I refer to him as future self.
You know, you talk about allowing enough time in a session. This looks like it's a little bit hard to judge before you get into it how lengthy it's going to be. How much time would you want to make sure you had before you start?
Before I will start an age regression, I want to make sure I have at least a half hour. And they will tend to run. You cannot predict how long they're going to run because it's a function of many different things. Function of their resistance or compliance. Function of your experience or lack of it. How complicated it is. And I will get into some things that can complicate this, but right now I just want to get it in the most fundamental way to you. Ask me your question again after the video, and I will talk about places where we can divide this up. Because there's places where you can divide this up. Because sometimes you've got 3 hours with the age regression work and only an hour doing it. Okay. Ready? Stand here and do nothing. People never really practice the art of nothing. Some people only do nothing when they're asleep, and they miss out on the whole thing.
better than Deborah's chair.
Well, this is higher. Hers was lower.
Oh!
Short.
Stop!
I like to be able to see people eye to eye.
Reminds me of something. Michelle is an interesting individual in that her ethnicity, boy, easy for me to say, is Polynesian. We don't have a lot of Polynesians running around here. And her English is not perfect because her parents are really, really Polynesian. I mean, they still can speak the mother tongue of Polynesian, whatever they speak. And so she gets her tenses mixed up, which is dreadfully confusing when you're doing age regression. Because in a true revivification, they should speak in present tense. Okay. So I'm doing age regression with her, and she will occasionally respond in past tense. And she should be speaking in present tense, which will cause me to demonstrate some techniques that I use when someone goes from revivification into hypermnesia, and how to get them back into revivification. However, and I believe in just about every case it was unnecessary, she's just getting her tenses confused. But I didn't know at the time. Boy, if I knew then what I know now. I figured it out when I took her into the future, and she's still talking in past tense. And I go, that's what's going on. So you'll see her speak in past tense sometime. And then I'll use some techniques that you can use. So now you can learn some techniques like, if someone's in past tense, they've slipped into hypermnesia from age regression, you can say, I would count from 1 to 3, and I want you to step into that picture as if it was happening all over again. 1, 2, 3, and that'll shift them from hypermnesia into a revivification, a couple of little things that I do too.
Right. I want you to make it comfortable. Is that comfortable?
Yeah.
Is your hair comfortable?
I'm fine.
We're going to just chat for a while, but before we do the hypnosis, I want to.
Did you adjust that so that you can see it okay?
Your arm, your shoulder, maybe even your forehead. Is that okay with you? And at any time, we might just start hypnosis, but I'll talk a little bit more.
Okay.
So it's okay if we do that?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. We'll just chat for a moment.
Okay.
I look like you're used to getting on a chair.
I'm used to
getting
used to doing
the
bed.
Tell me a little bit more about that feeling that you call it over. When you first noticed it, or approximately?
It was like a scary, like watching a scary movie.
Mm-hmm.
Something that you just automatically jump, like it was unexpected, but you knew it was coming.
Mm-hmm.
And,
it was kind of a fear.
Yeah.
And you feel it in your chest, right?
In my chest. It was like my heart just constantly, it runs.
Mm. You can actually feel your heart.
I can actually feel it like it's just gonna drop any time.
Mm. As you're talking about, I can see you're kind of breathing heavier. And,
yeah.
You kind of feel some of that uneasiness now.
And all I know is that it just started like a couple of years ago.
Okay. I'd like you to do. It'll help you focus. I'd like you to, while you're talking to me about this, just close your eyes. And tell me about, like, a situation where you might feel that experience, feel that feeling, like one of the recent ones.
My husband coming to give me a hug. The first day he got here, last month, he came to give me a hug, and I jumped.
What did he do?
He kind of backed off and wondered what was going on.
Mm-hmm. Just tell me the whole story of what was happening.
He started crying because he didn't feel like I wanted him there.
Mm-hmm.
And I would cry because it was like I wanted that hug, but I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like a scary moment.
How did it make you feel?
hurt.
And was that feeling in your body?
In my upper part of my body, in the front.
Focus on that feeling now. Just focus on that feeling. Follow that feeling back to an earlier time. Five, going back, becoming younger, smaller. Four, going back farther and further. Three, going back, using the magic of the mind. Two, one, be there. First impression, daytime, nighttime.
Daytime.
Indoors, outdoors.
Indoors.
Alone or with someone?
With someone.
Who's there?
My mother.
Be there with her. What's she doing?
Nothing.
Describe where you're at.
In a house.
Mm-hmm. How are you doing?
So.
Be there. First impression. How old are you?
Five.
Okay,
five.
Four.
That was the last time I saw her. I didn't give you a hug. No kisses, nothing.
Good. When I count from five back to one, go back there and sit here at five. Five, one back. Letting it all happen all over again. Four, back to the beginning of that situation. Three, becoming smaller, going back. Two, one, be there. First impression, daytime.
Daytime.
Be indoors or not?
Yeah.
Who's with you?
My mother.
Tell me what she doing.
Open arms.
Describe her to me. There she is. Tell me. How does she feel?
Happy.
How do you feel?
Scared.
What might happen?
Her trying to embrace a hug.
Mm. What happens when she does that?
Quiver.
Mm-hmm. Go on. What's happening now?
She's approaching to give me a hug.
Mm-hmm.
And my heart's just pounding.
Okay, fine. Let me ask you a question. Fine. That feeling, mom hugging you or your heart pounding, is it familiar? Like, oh boy, here we go again. Or is it new? Familiar or new?
Familiar.
Good. Focus on that feeling. Go to that. Four, younger, younger. Four, comes three, two, one, eight. First impression, daytime, night, day.
Daytime.
Indoors, outdoors.
Indoors.
Are you alone or with someone?
With someone.
Who's there?
My father.
Be there. What's dad doing?
Embracing.
How do you feel?
Fine.
Go on. Continue the story.
Embracing me with a hug, but not where I can quiver.
Mm-hmm.
It's like his feelings, I can feel his feelings, that he's showing his love.
Mm-hmm. Where are you right now? It's like me. How old are you?
Four.
Okay, four.
Just a continuous embrace. Telling me things are going to be okay.
Okay. How do you feel? His dad's telling me things are going to be okay.
Secure. He is reassuring me that everything I'm going to go through is going to be okay.
And what are you going to go through for?
The birth of my brother.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel about the birth of your brother for?
Happy.
What's happening now? Is dad still holding you?
Yeah.
How do you feel?
Secure.
Good.
Reassuring me that he loves me. Actually showing emotional feelings.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel about that for?
Good. I can actually feel that there is love there.
How do you feel about that?
I like it.
That feeling that love is actually there, is it familiar or is it?
With him, it's familiar.
Okay. What just happened?
He let go.
How do you feel that for?
Unsecure.
What does that feel like?
Scared. that I'm not going to have that feeling again. The feeling of love, affection, the feeling of being secure. I am actually running after it because I didn't want him to let go.
Where's that going?
To work.
Cool.
He reaches out and gives me another hug before he has to go.
Does that make you feel
good? And tells me he'll be back.
Does that make you feel
scared?
Yeah, what might happen?
That he wouldn't return. I go and I sit on the chair and wait for him to come in.
How do you feel?
Impatient.
Does that feel like? How do you feel it in your body?
A thump.
Where is that from?
My heart.
That's right.
Like something has happened.
Mm-hmm.
Or he's taking too long to come in.
What does that feel? Feeling of fear. Making your heart. That feeling of insecurity, that word, is it familiar, like, well, here we go again? Or is it new? Like, you never felt that way before?
That was new.
Focus on that feeling. That feeling of fear. Fear that love might not be there again. Focus on that feeling. Follow, drifting back. Forward to another time situation. Through. Coming younger, small, two, following that feeling all the way back. One, eight, first impression, daytime,
nighttime.
Indoors, outdoors.
Outdoors.
Alone with someone.
With someone.
Who's there?
My father.
What's happening?
Embrace me with a hug.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He came home from work.
There you are. He just comes home. How are you?
Good. Happy. Four.
That's home. What do you do?
Embrace him with a hug.
How does it feel?
Good.
What's happening?
He's just hugging and telling me he's sorry he was late.
Why is he concerned that he was late?
Because he told me he was going to be home at a certain time.
Mm-hmm.
And with time passing by, it got later.
Mm-hmm. And how did that make you feel?
I felt more secure that he was just home.
Yeah. I'm trying to put three back to one. Be before Dad gets home. He's like, three, two, one, be first impression, daytime, nighttime.
Okay.
Indoors, outdoors.
Indoors.
Alone in the summer.
Alone?
What's happened?
Just sitting there waiting.
Mm-hmm. What do you want?
My father to come home.
Okay.
Because I missed him.
Yeah, and there you sit down. How do you feel?
Scared, sad.
And what might happen?
That he's not coming.
Mm-hmm. Where's mom?
Where's my brother?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She's always with my brother.
How does that make you feel?
Unwanted. She was trying to get me to go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to go to bed.
Okay. Focus on that feeling. Mom's with brother. Mom's with brother. Mom's with brother. Unwanted. Reject. Five. I want to go back to the very first time you felt that. Four, going back. Three, two, one. Be there. First impression. Daytime, nighttime.
Daytime.
Indoors, outdoors.
Indoors.
Alone with someone.
With someone.
Who's there?
My mother.
What's she doing?
Thankfully, my brother.
Watch them. How does that make you feel?
Unwanted.
Yeah. What's she doing?
Clean with her. I'm just sitting on the side.
What do you feel sitting on the side?
Alone, unwanted.
What do you want?
Be a part of it.
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
I wanted to be a part of them playing together. I wanted to be a part of playing with my brother, being able to hold him.
You very standing, sitting on it.
Sitting.
Yeah. What do you do? There they are. Mom's parents and brother.
I just sit there. I did get up to go on embrace, or to go embrace my brother. Mm-hmm. My mother wouldn't let me.
How does that make you feel?
Sad.
Either. What's happening?
My mother picked up my brother mm-hmm. and walked away.
Does that make you feel?
Angry.
Mom is walking away. Older than mom is walking away.
That was what?
Okay, we count from three back to one. When you get back at that situation, more real, more accurate than before. Three, one back. Two, gonna be sitting there watching. One, be there. What's mom doing?
I'm with my brother.
What are they doing?
My mother's laughing.
How does that make you feel for her?
I'm happy.
Mm-hmm. You can feel that feeling, can't you?
Yes.
Where's that feeling?
In my gut.
That's right. Focus on that feeling. Go on. What happens next?
I wanted to play.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted my mother to play with me.
Mm-hmm. Be there, wanting mom to play with you. Go on.
And she didn't want to. She said that she had to be with my brother.
How can you tell that she doesn't want to be with you?
Because she paid more attention to him. At least she ignored what I said.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I wasn't even being heard.
See what it is. You can like it and the sound of my voice. What do you know? Can you count from one back to three? This time, it'll be as if you're there. Be talking as if you were four all over again. Because what is appealing inside you, you don't like. It's time to get rid of it, so you can be free of it. Is that okay with you?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Well, yeah. I'll be seeing you. I'll be watching you. You're going to be four all over again. Three, one down, coming home graceful. Two, little fingers, little body, so small, so angry. One, there you are, little one. Now you are, you're sitting there. As you're sitting there, I want you to become aware of your fingers, those little fingers. What's happening, little one?
Trying to get my mom's attention.
Yeah. How come you want mom's attention, little one?
I wanted her to play with me. I wanted her to love me.
How come you want her to love you and play with you?
Because she pays too much attention to my brother.
Did she used to play with you?
Yes.
And now she plays only with him?
Yes.
Okay. What are you going to do, little one? What are you doing?
I'm going to go up to her and ask her to play with me.
Why don't you do that now? And tell me what happens.
I don't have time.
How does that make you feel?
Sad.
What do you do?
Go back and sit down.
Mm-hmm. All right, now, from three back to one, you'll be back there at the time you hug your brother. Here we go. Three, two, one. What's happening?
I went back.
Mm-hmm.
Go play with my brother.
Mm-hmm.
My mom told me I was too small.
Mm-hmm. How does that make you feel?
Rejected.
Mm-hmm. What do you do?
I go to my room.
There you are in your room. What do you do?
Play with my toys on my bed.
How do you feel?
Sad. sad.
What are you thinking?
Why was my brother even born?
What do you think? You ask yourself, what was my brother before? What do you think?
That if he wasn't born, that there would be more time for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't be sitting on my bed praying by myself.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's how we go back to life. We go back to when you first decide to hug your brother and tell me everything that happens. 3, 2, 1, be there. What's happening?
I go to hug my brother.
Why do you want to hug your brother?
Because I love him.
Go on.
And he's just a little baby.
What's that like to hug that little boy?
Good.
Do you love him?
Yes.
Do you? What happens next?
My mom shoos me away.
How does that make you feel?
Angry.
Mm-hmm. Where do you feel that in your body?
In my heart.
What's it doing?
Pounding.
So, what that feeling in your heart? Is that familiar or like old going? Here we go again. Or is it new?
That was new.
Okay. We're going to the back now. Well, now. Be nice if you knew then, but you know now, isn't that true?
Yes.
You know what it's like to be a busy mom.
Yes.
In a moment, I'm going to count from 3 back to you. And you're going to be with that little one once more. Before little brother was born. Back when all you knew was mom's love, safety, security, and acceptance. Is that okay with you?
Yes.
Okay, so. 3, going back, looking for that little one once more. Just 4 years old and younger. 2, looking for her. There she is. First impression of where she's at. Is it daytime or nighttime?
Daytime.
Is she indoors or outdoors?
Outdoors.
Is she cute?
Yeah.
If you had a little girl like that in your life, could you love her?
Yeah.
She's lovable?
Yeah.
Good. Go to her right now and tell her. I'm here for you.
I'm here for you.
I'll never let you down.
I'll never let you down.
You're never going to be alone.
You're never going to be alone.
Because I love you.
Because I love you.
And I understand.
And I understand.
I'm proud of you.
I'm proud of you.
You're proud of her?
Yeah.
Tell her why. I'm proud of you because
you're lovable.
Yeah. Is she a good little girl?
Yeah.
And she's cute?
Yeah.
Let me talk to her. How old is she?
3.
Okay, be 3. Hi, 3. Let me tell you about grown-up. Grown-up, they never lie to you. Because you feel her feelings and she feels your feelings. That means everything she's going to tell you is the absolute truth. She's like an auntie come to help you out, isn't that nice?
Yes.
Hear all that stuff she told you?
Yes.
That's all true. How does it make you feel?
Good.
Are you safe?
Yes.
Are you secure?
Yes.
Does mommy love you?
Yes.
Does daddy love you?
Yes.
Good. Be grown up. Well, forewarned is forearmed, isn't it?
Yes.
She's going to have a brother and things are going to change, isn't it?
Yes.
Be nice if you knew them, you know now. That's just the 2 of you. Have a talk with her. Tell her what you wish someone would have told you back then.
I wish they would have told you it would have been a lot harder when I had a child of the world. And it's not that you were unwanted. There was just a baby in the house.
That's beautiful. I'd like you to tell her. Gee, let me ask you something. If you knew back then what you know now, I mean everything, your skills, abilities, and knowledge was on, would it have been so hard? I mean, you would have understood, right?
Yeah.
So if you could give her that, then it won't be hard. Is that true?
Yes.
I've got something
important to tell you. even though there's another child, you're still being loved. Just give it time, and you'll see that affection by your mother and your father. And you think you're a little brother.
Does mommy always love
you? Yeah.
I mean, with all you know now, did mother always love you?
Yeah, different way of showing.
I'm not talking about whether she showed it. Did she always love?
Yes.
You're asking me that thing.
Yes.
Is this true? No matter what she does, no matter how she acts, mommy always loves her.
Yes.
You're asking me that thing.
Yes.
Tell me.
It's hard for
you'd be able to recognize that she loved you, isn't that true?
Yes. Mommy doesn't always show her affection the way you want it to be. But she does love you. No matter how she shows it, she loved you. She always will, and she always has been a loving mother.
How are the little brothers going to come along?
And the little brother is going to come along wherever you go, wherever she goes. She'll still have that same amount of love for you as she did with your brother.
Even though she's loving, even though she's pampering brother, she still loves her.
Yes. And even though mom is there pampering and caring and always doing something with your little brother, she still loves you.
Is it true that she did that with you when you were a baby?
Yeah.
The babies just require that kind of attention, 24 hours, ongoing attention.
Yes.
It would be nice if you knew that. Too, but
yeah.
Explain that to her.
When you were a baby, that's what mommy did, was play with you, pamper you, take you here, take you there, play with you. Always hug you. She always loved you.
Three. Did you hear that, three?
Yes.
No matter what, even with little brother coming along, even though babies require a lot of attention, and they're fun. Mommies are just built to have fun with babies, you see. That's the way it was for you, and that's going to be his turn. But that doesn't mean she loves you any less. Do you understand that, three?
Yes.
Is there anything else she needs to get through this having a little brother around? So she always feels safe, secure, and loved, what do you think?
Yeah.
In a moment, we're going to do something very special. You promised her you'd always be there for her. Would you like that to be true?
Yes.
I'd like you to just be with her and grandma once more. The perfect auntie. Just be with her. Maybe she's on your lap, or maybe you just have your arm around her. How's that feel?
Good.
Does she like that?
Yeah.
But all you're going to do now is just tell her I love you three times. Go ahead.
I love you.
She trusts you.
I love you.
She becomes so small, like a little doll that's in the palm of your hand.
I love you.
And now she goes in, right next to your heart, where you can always be there for her. She never let down. She's always loved. She benefits from your wisdom, especially when it comes to little brother. How does she like it, Amanda?
Good.
Is it okay with you if she stays here always?
Always.
At a moment, I'm going to count from 1 to 3, and she's going to be in that first situation where mommy's pampering brother. But she gets through it wonderfully. So good that she makes you proud. Because she's always going to feel your love. She's always going to feel mommy's love. Is that okay with you?
Yeah.
You'll be in the background reporting, telling me what's going on. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. There she is. She's 4. What's happening?
Sitting down.
Okay, you're grown up. You're watching. What's happening now?
Going up to give mommy a hug.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel?
Good.
Does mommy love you?
Yes.
Good. Be the grown up in the background. Grown up, you're watching. What's happening now?
She embraced her mom with a hug.
How does she feel?
Good.
What does mommy do?
Hug her back.
Isn't that right?
Yes.
Go on.
She goes to play with her little brother.
Mm-hmm.
And mom wasn't too sure because he was too small.
Mm-hmm. So what does mommy do?
Put her on her lap.
Mm-hmm.
And they're playing together.
How does she like it?
She likes it. She feels a part. She's a part of it.
Would she feel that way if it happened the same way to you, I mean to her as it did to you? If mommy had kind of pushed her aside like she did to you, would she be able to get through that, feeling okay?
Yes.
There's a moment I'm going to count from 3 back to 1. This time it happens to her, just like it happens to you. But she gets through it, just like she did this time. Feeling good, feeling safe, feeling secure. Is that okay with you?
Yes.
3, 2, 1. There she is. What's happening?
Going up to mother.
Mm-hmm.
Asking to play.
How do you feel?
Good.
Does mommy love you?
Yes.
Even when she's playing with brother?
Even when she's playing with brother.
Okay. What happens next?
She puts my brother down.
Mm-hmm.
And she plays with me.
Mm-hmm.
And we're laughing.
Mm-hmm.
And then she gives me a hug.
How does that make you feel?
Good.
What happens next?
And tells me she's sorry she wasn't spending time with me.
How does that make you feel?
Good. I feel accepted now.
Yeah. What happens next?
One more hug.
Mm-hmm.
And then she gets up.
Mm-hmm.
And goes in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel?
Okay.
Where's brother?
Laying down. And I just sit there next to him.
Good. Be grown up. Be proud of her?
Yes.
Good. Go to her and tell her. I'm
proud of you.
Tell her why.
Because you know now that your mom loves you. And that you took me. Easy. You gave it a chance.
Beautiful. How does that make you feel?
Good.
Good. Beautiful. But that's not the way it happened for you, was it?
No.
When you went up there, mommy behaved differently towards you, didn't she?
Yes.
If that happened to her, could she get through that, feeling good and safe now? Loved by mom?
Yes.
Good. Because that's what's going to happen this time. This time I'm going to count from 3 back to 1. And she's going to go through exactly what you went through. But once again, she's going to make you proud. Is that okay with you?
Yes.
Do you need to tell her or anything or prepare her for it in any way?
No.
Good with her. Three, she goes back to the beginning. Two, when I grow up, you're going to be watching. You're not going to be a little one, sir. But there she is. She's sitting there. She's watching. What's happening, brother?
She approached Mom.
Mm-hmm. How does she look?
There's a smile on her face.
How does she feel?
Happy.
Yeah, are you proud of her?
Yeah.
Good. What's happening now?
She's wanting to give her mother a hug.
Mm-hmm. Now it happens to her just like it happened to you. But she handles it better. Go ahead.
My mom pushed her away.
How does she handle it?
She said all I wanted was a hug.
How does she feel?
She's okay.
You proud of her?
Yes.
Does she understand?
Yes.
Mommy shouldn't have done that, should she?
No.
But she handles it good?
Yes.
Does she still know that mother loves her?
Yes.
What happens next?
She went to sit down.
Mm-hmm. How does she feel?
Okay.
Are you there for her?
Yes.
You love her?
Yes.
Is she alone?
No.
Yes. Okay. What happens next?
She just asked her mom when she's got time to play with her.
Mm-hmm. What happened?
The mom says yes.
Now she goes to the time when she goes and gives her brother a hug. What's she doing?
Well, she's approaching her brother to give him a hug.
How does she feel?
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Mom went to push her away again.
Mm-hmm.
Saying she's too small.
Mm-hmm. How does she handle it?
She said, okay, when he's older.
Does she feel loved?
Yes.
Everything stops and you go up to her and tell her, I told you I'd be here for you.
I told you I'd be here for you.
I'll never let you down.
I'll never let you down.
You're never going to be alone.
You're never going to be alone.
Because I love you.
Because I love you.
And I understand.
And I understand.
And I'm proud of you.
And I'm proud of you.
Tell her why.
Because you took it easy. You didn't get upset.
You're the little one. How's that make you feel, little one?
Good.
Are you loved?
I'm loved.
You're safe?
I'm safe.
You're secure?
I'm secure.
Yeah. Are you secure with mommy, even if daddy's not around now?
Yes.
You're good. So you don't have to worry about daddy's home?
No.
Isn't that nice?
Yes.
Tell grown-up, I've changed.
I've changed.
Because now I know.
Now I know.
Put an ending on it.
That my mother loves me.
So now I feel.
And I feel secure.
One more time, tell grown-up, I've changed.
I've changed.
As I change.
As I change.
You change.
You changed.
Because I am you.
Because I am you.
I live inside of you.
I live inside of you.
Where all your feelings come from.
Where all your feelings come from.
You grown up, how's that make you feel?
Secure.
Yeah. That's right. In a moment, I'm going to count from 1 to 3. And she's going to be there. Dad's late. But she brings this new feeling of safety and security. And so, does it have to bother her at all?
No.
Good. So, in a moment, we count from 1 to 3. You'll be in the background watching. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. There she is. Dad's late. How's she feel?
Okay.
She's changed, hasn't she?
Yes.
Good. What happens next?
She's watching TV.
Mm-hmm. How's she feeling?
All right.
No big deal?
No big deal.
Is she safe?
She's safe.
She's secure?
She's secure.
What happens next?
Mom comes to sit down by her.
Mm-hmm.
And they watch TV together.
Isn't that nice?
Yes.
and the dad comes home. What happened?
Rocky gave him a hug.
Yeah. Good. Isn't that nice?
Yes.
It's different when you did that, isn't it?
Yes.
How is it different?
I didn't know.
Yeah. You're not running to him because you're scared, is it? Right?
No.
Okay. Good. He loved you one. Wasn't that nice of him?
Yes.
Mommy love you?
Yeah.
Daddy love you?
Yeah.
Are you lovable?
Yes.
Is your brother lovable?
Yes.
You love your little brother?
Yeah.
When did you know that time when you were five? And Mom wanted to give you that hug. But this time, you're going to bring all this knowledge, this change inside of you to that moment. Because now you know she always loved you. Is that okay with you?
Yes.
Here we go. 5 years old. Mom holding her arms up to you. 1, 2, 3. What's happening?
Mommy's got her arms open.
How do you feel?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Does Mommy love you?
Yes.
Go on.
And I ran to her.
There you are. What's happening?
He gave her a hug.
How do you feel?
Good.
Isn't that nice?
Yes.
What happens next?
Can't let go.
How come?
It just felt good.
Yeah, just be there and enjoy. Isn't that nice for him?
Yes.
Okay. Now you have to think of your life though. How do you feel?
Secure.
That's right. Tell grown up, I've changed.
I've changed.
Because now I know.
Because now I know.
What did you know?
The mom I was in.
So now I feel.
Very secure.
Good. One more time. Tell grown up, I've changed.
I've changed.
As I change, you change.
As I change, you change.
Because I am.
Because I am it.
How does that make you feel?
Secure.
Good. You changed inside, haven't you?
Yes.
Good. Now we're going to move to that time about 2 months ago. Your husband comes to see him, comes here. And you bring all this good feelings, all this experience, all these good changes to that. And you get to see how that changes that moment. Would that be nice?
Yes.
Here we go as I count from 1 to 3. 1, 2, 3. There you are. What's happening?
My husband came to give me a hug.
Mm-hmm.
And I embraced him back.
How's that feel?
Good.
What happens next?
But he's not letting go.
How's that make you feel?
Good.
You remember what that was like.
Yes.
That's like when you were with Mom when you were 5. You didn't want to let go because it felt so good.
Yes.
Good. What happens next?
And he tells me he loves me.
How's that make you feel?
Secure.
Do you believe it?
Yes.
Isn't that nice?
Yes.
You can accept those words into your heart?
Yes.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
How do you feel inside?
Overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that nice? Let all those good feelings go inside you. What happens next?
We're sitting on the couch.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes to put his arm around me.
Mm-hmm.
And I just sat there.
Mm-hmm. What's that like?
Security.
How does he like?
Likes it.
Isn't that what you always wanted?
Yes.
And you can always have it, isn't that nice?
Yes.
Well, we're going to count from 1 to 3. We're going to move into the future. Could be a day, or a few days, or even a few weeks. And once again, you get to have this kind of experience with your husband or with your children. Is that okay with you?
Yes.
Here we go. 1, 2, 3. There you are. Daytime, nighttime.
Daytime.
What's happening?
We're all outside.
Mm-hmm.
We were playing.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're sitting down.
How do you feel?
Happy.
Yeah. Who's there?
My husband and my kids.
Mm-hmm. How are they feeling?
Happy.
Isn't this nice?
Yes.
Go on.
we're enjoying each other's company. And he goes to give me a hug. And I hug him back.
How does that feel?
Good.
Yeah. How does he feel about that?
Smiles.
Go on.
Then my kids come to give me a hug. And I hug them. And I feel good.
How do they like that?
They enjoy it.
That's what they've always wanted.
Yep.
It was a real hug with real affection.
Yes.
Real closeness.
Yes.
And that's what you've always wanted.
Yes.
Okay.
And we're just going home.
Good. Let the sea be. Get after me. I've changed.
I've changed.
Because now I know.
Now I know.
What do you
mean? That I'm secured.
So now I feel.
So now I feel. That I am loved.
Can you now accept affection?
Yes.
Do you look forward to giving your husband and your children the hug?
Yes.
Okay. One more time. You count from 1 to 3. We move ahead to another time. It's just you and your husband, and you get to receive more affection from him. Would you like that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. 1, 2, 3. There you are. Daytime, nighttime.
Daytime.
Indoors, outdoors.
Indoors.
Alone and with someone.
With someone.
Who's there?
My husband.
In this company.
Just got home from work.
Mm-hmm.
He came to give me a hug.
Mm-hmm.
And then he gave me a kiss.
How do you feel?
Unexpected.
Yeah.
I felt good.
Mm-hmm.
And we sat down at dinner.
How's he feeling?
Happy.
Why is he happy?
Because I didn't shut it at his affection.
How's that make you feel?
Alive.
Yeah. How's that make you feel?
Alive.
And today you become alive in a new way. Same phase, but you are here and you've changed. You are good. There's nothing wrong with you. You're loving. The part of you that somehow got mixed up, you released that. And today you say you're alive because a part of you that's been asleep for a long time, a part of you that can give and accept real intimacy, real love, real closeness, real affection. How's that make you feel?
Good.
In a moment, you want to count from 1 to 5. When I get to 5, your eyes will open, fully emerged, and these changes occur. Notice how good you feel. You feel good and comfortable. What kind of safety and security is inside you? 2, it begins to grow and grow every day, becoming who you really are, complete and whole. Looking forward to these feelings of love and intimacy in the future. 3, feeling so good, so fine, so wonderful. A new kind of peace in your life. Some kind of confidence. There's nothing wrong with you. I never was. 4, it was just a misunderstanding. And we fixed it with understanding. Yeah. And now preparing to open your eyes. 4 becomes 5. And it was how good you feel. You do feel good, don't you?
Yeah.
Kind of surprised yourself.
Yes. Okay. That was strong.
Tell me all about it.
I didn't realize that that's where it began.
Mm-hmm.
So good.
Remember being that little one sitting there watching mom?
Yeah, I do remember.
Yeah. Just sitting there and what was it like for you?
It was hard. Mm-hmm. Never knew those feelings existed.
You've done a pretty good job at swallowing them away, pulling them away, ignoring them, denying them. You're not good anymore because they were just a misunderstanding.
No. It was a figment of my imagination.
No, you're only happy. Yeah, little girls have pretty good imagination.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't think I'd have one, but.
Yeah.
I felt a lot better. I was like a whole new thing just got lifted more. But I'm getting lighter.
That's right. I want you to look inside your chest. There used to be a old worn out feeling that you didn't like. What's in there now? What's it feel like in your chest?
It feels smooth.
Yeah.
Like just calm water. It's not so bumpy.
And then also, you had a feeling in your gut. Remember when we went back and there was a feeling in your gut?
Yeah. Not tight. It's real loose. It's good. I think my husband will be shocked.
How so? Why?
Well, because that was the first time and the only time I ever gave him a hug. So.
Are there more of those in his future now?
Yeah.
Isn't that neat? But you can hardly wait till tonight, huh?
Yep, it's a hot thing.
What are you going to do?
I'm actually going to give him a hug. Then he'll probably ask me what's wrong. Nothing, I'm fine. Everything's fine.
Just tell him this. I've changed.
And you can change.
Yeah, he's got to get his own session.
Yeah.
Repeat after me one more time. I've changed.
I've changed.
Because now I know.
Because now I know.
Put an ending on it.
That I'm loved.
And you always have been.
Yes.
So now I feel.
So now I feel very secure.
That's what you always want.
Yes. That security. That's the same thing my dad told me last night.
What did he tell you last night?
That I needed to feel that security. I didn't have that. And then he would tell me it would take time. I'm thinking, I don't have time. I never have time. So.
Well, you knew you needed that security, but you didn't know how to get it.
Right.
Everybody says, oh, do this. But
yeah,
the answer is how? How do you change the way you feel inside?
Yeah, he just tells me it will take time. I'm just thinking, I'm not getting any younger.
And he was right. Took about 12 hours. That's all a day, right?
Right. It took 12 hours.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But it's like everything I knew, he knew. Like, he just couldn't figure out how to get it or how to tell me to do it.
He wanted to give you something, but he didn't know how to give it to
me. Right. That's what he said. So now, I have it.
I'm proud of you. Good work.
Yes.
Right. Any questions for me?
No.
Okay. Well, if you do, you know where I work, right?
Yeah, right around the corner.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. I'll put you
there. Yeah, yeah.
You got it? Questions, comments about the video?
Where could you have divided it?
Would I have divided
it? Where could you have? You said
there was no time to divide that. I mean, it wasn't long enough to need to be divided.
Okay.
I will get to how to divide up a session after we discuss this video.
Okay.
Any questions about what you saw in this video or comments? Yes, Astra.
Why was she inputting false endings to that memory that you kept seeing?
Because it feels better than confronting how it really happened. And so to actually go through it the way it actually happened would still be too painful for her. What does that mean? That means the informed child work is not done sufficiently enough. There's still too much pain associated with it. There should be zero pain associated with it. So long as there's pain associated with it, they're going to try to avoid it or rewrite it, you see? So go through it, she rewrites it. She needs more information. We went through it again. She still rewrote it. She needs more information. Finally, she was able to... What was ISE? Just being pushed away. That was the first time. Before that moment, she was the princess. The whole family revolved around her. You see? And then she goes up to the little brother with expectations of being able to play with him and love him and all this stuff based on every moment she's ever had in her life and her family, and all of a sudden, no, you're too small. And then she made of that what a child would make of it. So then we had to run her through that again. Nina?
Can I ask a question? She used the AIAR induction.
That's because it's not there. There's no induction. All we do is we trigger the age regression with no induction. The AIR induction, affect-induced age regression induction. So what do? I have her start talking about the feeling, and when as soon as she gets in touch with that feeling, I say, oh, I can see you can feel it now because you're breathing stronger. Yes. Is it okay if I start the hypnosis at any time? Yes. Good. Tell me more about it. Close your eyes. She's telling me about it. She had hypnosis yet? No. And then all of a sudden I go, whack her on the head, follow that feeling back to another time you felt that. Boom. And the count of 5 back to 1, boom, she's 5 years old. See? And what did she tell me? Remember, she said, before we did the induction, she said, all I know, it just started a couple months ago.
A couple years ago.
Yeah, and you know, don't believe your clients. What happened a couple years ago? SPE, symptom producing event. But the cause goes all the way back to when she was a little one. See? So there is really no induction. I just trigger the age regression. And that's simultaneously. Why do we do the induction? Why do we do the test for somnambula and all that? So we can do an age regression. In special circumstances, we can bypass all of that that I've been teaching you and go boom, right into the age regression. And that's an example of it.
So, what did that work better because she had been through hypnosis? She's been hypnotized before? Or doesn't that really matter?
Any positive experience that someone's had with hypnosis is going to tend to improve the probability of success in subsequent sessions. However, I've done that with people that have had no hypnotic experience at all. If you watch the interview I just did with Mark Mallett on calbanion.com, and it's also on the ourhypnospace.com, he was here to receive the ultimate recognitions, to become a teacher of the ultimate recognitions. And afterwards, I did an interview with Linda Mallerstein and also with Mark Mallett. And he loves an induction. He says that he almost always just does that. He just starts off with, get him talking about the problem, connect with the emotion, whack him on the head and say, follow it back. Very, very reliable, very, very efficient. But typically, you first have to master the... Most therapists do this. They start off with some long, ridiculous induction, like a progressive relaxation induction. They get frustrated with that, have a little bit of success, get more frustrated, then they look for a teacher that can teach you a rapid induction. You learn the rapid induction, start to get confidence with that. Then you learn instant induction, you get confidence with that, and then you learn the no induction, you get confidence with that.
So there's kind of this natural progression. And because, you know, the interestingness of doing inductions wears off. And the real, and after you've done a few hundred of them, you want to just get to the work and get it done as efficiently and as powerfully as possible. Yes, Michael?
Will most individuals, after you've developed a technique, respond to your induction?
I don't know what you mean by develop the technique.
Well, develop it by going through it over a period of time. Let's say you do 100 of them, and you yourself are confident. Then can you, you know, will an individual then be able to have good success using that?
Okay, so they've successfully done 100. Would the individual then have success?
No, if you've practiced it. We go and we do practice sessions.
Oh, you practice on each other? You can't practice this on one another.
No.
All right.
This has been a problem all my life. Excuse me. Sorry. Let me finish. You do this and you find that have been doing the. You just said there's a progression. You start with progressive inductions and then you try something that is a little bit better. And then you do instant and rapid, blah blah blah. Then you go to. Do you have a higher success rate or as good as, let's say, an instant induction by using air induction? That's all right.
Well, I'm going to make another stab at it, and that is, the air induction will work for the hypnotist who has never done an air induction before. It will work for the hypnotist that has never done an induction of any kind before, if done technically correctly. I'm just saying that most people. And I'm not suggesting that you should do this. Start off with longer inductions and get shorter and shorter. When you're ready, when you say, damn, that's cool, I want to do that, then just start doing it. You know, just do it. But make sure you understand what you're doing and then do it. Because you cannot practice the air induction on non-clients. Because it requires that someone have an issue to trigger. Is that
sure?
Yeah, they have to have a real issue that they really want to work on, that has real emotions to it. Get them talk about it, close your eyes, wham, fall back to a real time felt that way.
So what kind of percentage does that work on?
So far it's worked every single time.
When you've done it?
Yes.
I guess that's
it's purely mechanics. If you've removed the fears and misconceptions. Okay, you've done a good pre-talk, done a good pre-hypnosis interview, they're ready to go. They start getting emotional, talking about the problem, close your eyes, follow the feeling back. You know, that's the way it is. You see, people think hypnosis is fragile. It's not. It survives yelling and screaming. In fact, all of you have hypnotized many other people in your life, probably. If you've ever yelled at someone, like a child, geez, what's wrong with you? It's the stupidest thing I've ever seen. The shout puts them into trance. The emotion that you send into them puts them into a heightened state of suggestibility. And whatever you say is there for life, unless you deprogram it. I know that because of all the ISEs and SSEs I've gone to. That's how it gets in there.
Mark? Part of the process involves releasing emotion that's been stuck. It hasn't been.
It's part of the therapy process. Right.
At what point do you consider allowing a client who's under to really get into a feeling, say, of anger towards mommy for favoring brother, or to really feel the sadness of daddy not coming home?
Whenever they're in the event. If I'm going back in time and they're angry, okay, then this is different than talking to the grown-up person saying, you know, you've got childhood anger, let it out. All of a sudden, now they're 10, they're angry with mom, you say, what happened? Or dad, or big brother, whatever it is, right? You know, what happened? What are you thinking? That's not fair. Oh, okay, good. So now I know that's there. And let it out, you know. Say it's not fair. Why is it not? And then what we'll do is we'll validate it if it's based in reality.
If it's not based in reality, then the informed child technique will give them the insight they need so that they can see that it's not based in reality, and that will neutralize the emotion. But as they go back through time, visiting those events, they re-experience the emotions, and that provides the catharsis that is the healing experience.
So in Michelle's case, when she said, "I'm really angry at mom," would that be an appropriate time to say, allow yourself to experience that anger?
Well, it depends where I am in the process, if I'm going back in time or if it's the ISC and stuff like that. We have to remember what we're working on. And in this case, in her case, anger takes a back seat to fear. I'm working on her fear with her. So the age regression, the fear is more important because she came in because of this fear. However, she's going through five path, and I would address the anger at mommy in phase three. See? So I would not probably address it in the age regression. Why? Because I'm not working on that. I'm working on fear is the issue we're working on, and I'll be able to deal with it in phase three, forgiveness of others.
As suppose a 1-2-year-old gets on a 2-year-old and yells, do those kinds of events go as biases?
Oh, yes. Especially if they're twins. No, I'm just kidding.
I didn't actually see you whack her on the head. What I saw was that you placed her hand on the head and started rocking.
Well, I whack. But it's not a hard whack. But when you're not expecting it and your eyes are closed, the experience is 10 times worse than it looks. Because you're not expecting it, your eyes are closed, you're kind of, she's in a fearful state anyway because she's reliving it, and all of a sudden I go, follow that feeling back. And it is a little, not a hard whack, but it's a, like that. And it's kind of like when you do 7th path, you don't use an alarm to emerge you because it kind of makes you jump. Mm-hmm. You find that interesting? That's the kind of stuff that got me into whole hypnotherapy thing, doing stuff like that. I just thought it was so interesting. Okay. I'd like you to take a 5-minute break. Real quick, whatever you gotta do, get back. I gotta assign you some homework, and then you gotta do your practice for the evening.
And you're not gonna forget to tell us where we could have broken something like this.
I probably will. Just to drive you nuts.
I'm gonna remind you.
You know, I think we might have to schedule that Monday.
That's fine. I seem to have like this fear that I'm going to get weighed into something and then not know where it logical.
It's in the manual.
Okay.
And I will talk about it. I always do.
Yeah.
It's very important. If I don't remind me, it's important. I won't let you down. It is in the manual. We'll talk about it.
Got it. Sounds good.
I'm kind of relaxed. I'm ready to go to Famous Dave's for some ribs in Minneapolis. Yeah, actually, that was there. I'm trying to use Famous Dave's to keep me awake. And then Cher was feeling mighty good, mighty relaxed.
Okay.
It's not just, it's,
but not in the beginning.
In the beginning, we haven't tested you.
But General Bell, Earl Cry, Blutter, those animals. So being compassionate and yet being strong.
Ruthless compassion.
Compassionate, but you still drive forward. You don't stop them and give them a
hug. Man, I knew it. All right, I'm off the hook.
Those are DVDs. And this is her handouts from the class.
Okay. So it's in the narrative
bed. Secret feelings?
Is there more handouts like this on here? Or is this
That's all there is for the class. No handout. If there's more than this is the sample, you can always ask Danny if there's more than that.
No, this is the one. This is mine.
Oh, that's yours? Okay.
Yeah.
My comprehension's not so good today. Homework. 2,000 word essay on the meaning of hypnosis.
Okay. Where do you want to go?
Yesterday. This is like the class from hell.
I bet
you
say that to all the
clients. No, not you guys.
That's fine.
Give us a crystal. You guys are wonderful.
Wake up later.
I'm going to get a germ on.
I can see it in him, even though he's never.
My wife is the same thing. Yeah.
Yep. And the day of having mom stay home with the kids just about passed. It's really tough to read. And the good news is, we're not likely to run out of clients anytime soon.
Yeah.
So
you think you even stop smoking clients? You know, with the whole wave.
Well, we might one day run out of any significant number of smoking clients, but I don't work with that many smoking clients anymore.
Some is an instant induction of me without even trying.
So what age could you
Well, you know.
Catch
too bad. Kind of like,
at
what age could you reprogram or deprogram?
I wasn't expecting it because I hadn't had any.
Well, you can start as
soon as you
the better. I'm younger, the better.
Good. But it kind
of
like.
I mean, if you're from a parenting point of view, you just have to say, yeah.
The only thing I could
think of is, I'm sorry.
I didn't mean that.
Well, I'm talking about like where kids are. Where the kids experience getting hit by other kids and how in hypnotic state absorbing.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. I mean, you just gotta find out what's bothering them. Unfortunately, sometimes they've gotta give up
and not pay attention.
Right. Really can work. They have to get that far enough behind them.
Sure.
So what age is that?
Yeah.
You know what?
Probably what's that little candy?
7, 8 years old. Okay, guys. Short break's over. I gave you a handout. That's your homework for the weekend. You didn't come here to have fun. You came here to suffer. I'm doing a pretty good job of it. All right. Good. All right, so please read through that handout, see if there's any questions you have about it. Okay, good. So now, you guys are doing induction for practice, right? Eye catalepsy, arm catalepsy. Now, it's getting longer, so it's hard to do it 3 times in a row. Cut down to 2 times in a row. Now, I'd also like to encourage you to switch to the short element. That'll save some time. But in order to do that, you must ask this one very important question. Okay. You have to ask the person you're about to hypnotize, have you successfully lost the numbers using the Hellman-Banyan induction? If they say yes, then you can go on and use the short element. Because in the short element it says, what? Relax the body as if you were asleep at night, relax your mind as if the numbers had faded away to nothing. So it refers to going back to where they were. If they've never been there, then you can't suggest that they go back there. So if they say, yes, I've lost the numbers, then you go, good. Use the short element. That's in the appendix also. It's around 138, 139, something like that. So induce with that. And then what are you going to do? Eye lock, arm catalepsy, the number block. Oh, we haven't done, have you done number block yet? Okay, well, whatever order they are in the appendix, do them. Go all the way through analgesia anesthesia. Now, let me run through the physical manipulation on that. So, now remember, you don't test for number block until they emerge. So, let me take a look at this so I get the order exactly. Okay, if you have questions, ask me. Okay? Because if you're asking each other, then I can't proceed. So since I can't proceed anyway, then I might as well be answering your questions. Okay? Because if I proceed, then you'll have questions about what I just talked about. Okay, Gabrielle, do you have a question?
Yes. I was just trying to get the order of things.
Okay, on page 131, level 1 manual.
Right.
Okay, is the test that you'll be doing. So you do induction, and then you just start going through this. Whatever the induction is, and then go to hypnoidal, which is the top of 131. Then you do the test for light hypnosis. Now, of course, you don't say stage 1, hypnoidal. You skip that part, you just go right into the non-bolded part. Then you do the arm catalepsy, then move forward to the test for medium or threshold of somnambulism. Okay. And this is number block. Now, here's a very important thing. After we give them the suggestion for number block, but we don't test it until after we emerge them. Right? Is that count from 1 to 10 that way for me? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, 8, 9, 10. Good. Do that one more time. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, 8, 9, 10. Good. Then you move on to the next test. You've only set things up for that test. So then you move into the threshold of somnambulism or full somnambulism, which is analgesia anesthesia. So you say, in a moment I'm going to lift your arm by the wrist, and I'd like you to leave it out there for me once again. Lift her arm out in front of her, give it a little shake, then let go of it. If the arm falls, she's failed the test. Emerge. If she can't even follow your instructions, like leave it out there, obviously they're not very suggestible. So we're going to go, we've already given the number thing. Then we say, in a moment I'm going to lift your arm by the wrist, I'd like you to leave it out there. Let go. You need to let go. Okay, if they drop it, I'll let you have one more try. You say, oh, you're supposed to leave it out there. Is that okay with you? Yes, good. And it should stay. All right, then we proceed. As I gently stroke the back of your hand, it begins to tingle or feel numb. Gently stroke the back of her wrist from her hand, from her wrist to her knuckles. All the feeling is leaving your hand as it continues to become more and more numb. All feeling is leaving your hand. It is completely numb. Nothing that I do here can affect you in any way. Nothing, nothing, nothing. Let go. Then let go. And say, what did you feel? You don't want to be pinching them and say, what do you feel? Do you see how you're suggesting feeling? The timing's important there. You go, numbing, 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 numbing. Nothing, nothing, nothing. What did you feel? Nothing. See? If they say, pinch, then you say, did you feel any pain? And they should say no. If they felt pressure, but no pain, that's analgesia, pain blockage. But if they say nothing, then that's anesthesia, which is the blockage of all sensation. Okay? Good, now allow all. Yeah, so if they get pressure, but no pain, you've got analgesia, and it's worth giving the suggestion again and see if you get anesthesia. So you just go in here. Good, now allow all the feeling to leave your hand, from your wrist to your knuckles, and pinch again. It is completely numb, completely numb. Nothing, nothing, nothing. What did you feel this time? Okay, so you got it. If they feel your touch, but no pain, provided that you had the guts to pinch them enough to where they should feel pain, which is exemplified by marks like this in the hand. Okay, it's no big deal. If you participate in this exercise, you are inherently giving the person permission to pinch you enough to leave a mark. If you're not willing to do that, you need to tell them ahead of time. So, if they don't tell you ahead of time, don't do the anesthesia test on me. You have permission. Speak now or just before the abduction or put up with it. So you can see I have marks there. This works. What's his name? Tom Nicoli just did a TV show. And he demonstrates the 8-word induction. And he does an 8-word induction. Press a man, close your eyes, sleep. He does a little deepening technique and then does this. Leaves a mark. This works when done properly. Okay, so you pinch them enough to leave a mark with like your thumbnail. I always let my thumbnail grow out long for this class. And then, okay, and then what? If they feel pressure or pinch but no pain, you got analgesia. Then you say the next thing. Good, now allow all the feeling to leave your hand from your wrist to your knuckles, pinch again, saying, it is completely numb, nothing, nothing, nothing. What did you feel this time? Now you should have gotten, well, not necessarily, you may have just had more analgesia, or they may have said, I felt nothing. Now you got anesthesia. Okay? If you got anesthesia, nothing, then you have a high probability of being able to go to stage 5, somnambulism, and get a positive hallucination. But save that for Monday, okay, because I want you to have time to practice it. But today, if you can, get all the way through analgesia. If you can't, that's okay, but Monday morning you should. You got all weekend to practice it. By this time tomorrow, I mean Monday, it'll be your last chance to go all the way through this. So this weekend, practice the physical manipulation, practice saying it, make sure you understand what's supposed to be done, and then, because after that, we're going to move on to age regression. So it's your last chance to do all this good stuff. Of course, you can go home and get a hypno buddy and do it there, too. Okay? Any questions? Got your homework? You got that? Okay. See you Monday. Mark will be supervising. Mr. Enthusiasm over there.
For the people that
want
to...
Oh.
Somebody has a
Nina, did they get all that up there? Because I didn't have my mic on. Okay, so they're picking it up through the webcams, probably.
So,
Disneyland.
What about annual
bath? Universal Studios.
Saturday. Okay, tomorrow morning when?
Life's a beach.
Mini quick cancer. 10 o'clock. Good.
Yeah.
And
that was easy.
Carry 5 people in my car.
Let me carry.
You can get 5 people inside you. Yeah. 4 beside.
Are you using the restroom? Okay. That's it. Spill the water. Spill the water.
Thank you.